lives than previously thought. 20 investigations into prisoner deaths and assaults are underway in Iraq and Afghanistan. It emerged yesterday. Army officials revealed that 25 prisoners have died while being held by U.S. forces in the two countries. Two of them were murdered in Iraq by Americans, one a soldier and the other a contractor working for the CIA. Soldier reportedly shot a prisoner who had thrown rocks at him. He was reduced in rank to private and thrown out of the service, but did not serve any jail time. And no legal action was taken against the CIA contractor because of a lack of jurisdiction, though the case was referred to the Justice Department. Meanwhile, a Canadian civilian says in a lawsuit that he was tortured by U.S. troops in Iraq and saw Iraqi prisoners suffer even worse mistreatment. At the Pentagon, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said it's un-American to abuse prisoners, but he would only go so far.
I'm not a lawyer. My impression is that what has been charged thus far is abuse, which I believe technically is different from torture. I don't know if it is correct to say that torture has taken place or that there's been a conviction for torture. And therefore, I'm not going to address the torture word.
On Capitol Hill, members of the Senate Armed Services Committee are buzzed about why they weren't told sooner about the alleged abuse of Iraqi prisoners. White House says Bush will do two 10-minute interviews with Arab TV to underscore his feelings about abuse allegations. New head of the Abu Ghraib prison says the facility would reduce the number of prisoners by half to about 2,000. A 15-year-old Palestinian boy has been indicted by an Israeli military court for allegedly recruiting teenagers to become suicide bombers. It marked the first time such charges have ever been leveled on a Palestinian youth. According to reports, the court charged Nasser Awatani with recruiting a 16-year-old boy who blew himself up at a military checkpoint and another teen who was caught with a bomb strapped to his body. Awatani was considered the key contact. United States, in a show of protest, walked out of the United Nations meeting yesterday just minutes before the world body gave the African nation of Sudan a third term of the Human Rights Commission. That commission is the UN's human rights watchdog. U.S. Ambassador to the UN called the vote an absurdity and accused Sudan of massive human rights violations and ethnic cleansing. And the second-largest Protestant denomination in the United States, the United Methodist Church, yesterday voted to make emphatically clear that same-sex gender is incompatible with Scripture. Wayne Gilman, Air America, Radio News.
This morning, I was going to toast an English muffin, but the knob on the toaster had like 9 settings. 9! I can't deal with picking a shade of brown for my muffin. I'm trying to sell my house.
If you're looking to sell your house, let Coldwell Banker make it easier. We have a global network of agents who can find your buyer anywhere. Coldwell Banker. Visit ColdwellBanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated, except offices owned and operated by Energy Incorporated.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, I have become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
There was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once, Planet Check.
Good news for diesel. Engine companies are developing a soot trap filtering system so we can all breathe a little easier.
This is exactly what those environmentalists should be spending their time on.
Richard Castle, director of National Vehicle and Fuels Project for the NRDC, explains.
This is a story of government, public interest community, industry, and state and local air pollution officials all working together to solve a problem, and it's clearly working.
The EPA report shows that all the engine companies are on track to meeting the 2007 deadline.
That's great news for anybody who breathes. The fuels will be cleaner and the diesel trucks and buses will be cleaner in a few years, and that's a great news story.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check, your daily one-minute terrestrial examination. Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Air America's Unfiltered.
You've got Karen Hughes. Let me tell you something. This woman's a complete sociopath.
She calls her book 10 Minutes from Normal, why doesn't she just call it I'm Ready to Snap?
Biz Winstead, Chuck D, and Rachel Maddow.
Women love Karen Hughes.
These women.
She has this Texas thing going on, you know, wearing with the bows in her hair.
She has a mullet.
Air America's Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Today, we've got the liberal agenda coming up this hour. Plus, are conservatives living in a fantasy world? I mean, other than Washington. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Good morning.
How you doing? Morning.
How am I doing?
How you doing?
I'm getting all amped up, man.
You're amped up?
Yeah, did you go to the gym yesterday, bro?
Yes, I did.
I did, too. And you know what happened at the gym? Like, and I'm not proud to be going to the gym, you know, but I have to go to the gym because it makes me feel like I have a life. And that, you know, I'm doing something to promote my life. Did you do anything exercise-like yesterday, Sue?
I biked all around Lower Manhattan, past the Staten Island Ferry, and then through Chinatown and bought 2 bags of mangoes.
Wow. So there was a payoff at the end of your exercise, the big mango payoff.
Fruit.
So I'm at the gym. I get on my, the despondent kind of bitter guy on the Stairmaster for a change. And at my gym, like I'm at a new gym, they have TVs.
TVs, yeah,
right.
Too.
So guess who's on the TV while I'm doing my Stairmaster work? Tucker Carlson.
Uh-oh.
Tucker Carlson on TV, fueling me with hostility as I angrily run my 5 miles. Tucker Carlson, who brings Bianca Jagger on TV. Bianca Jagger is the person that he picks to torment and torture because she's part of Amnesty International, right? This is what I don't like about Tucker Carlson, is that what he'll do is he'll listen to what someone has to say, and then he'll say, this is a Republican thing, too. He'll look at his book and go, what about when you were 7? It says when you were 7 years old, mm-hmm. you disagreed with, when you were 7, you actually heard a bird.
I'll go you one better.
What?
He'll say, in 1976, you rode on a horse in Studio 54. Did you sniff cocaine with all the other people that sniff cocaine in Studio 54?
Bianca will go, well, I don't see how that has any bearing. No, I think it does have bearing, because somebody who would snort coke on a horse obviously doesn't care about horses and then can't care about people.
Right.
So, I don't care. And that's how I'll end his argument. And I can't stand the guy. I can't stand looking at his stupid smug mug. I don't even know if I'm trying to start a war here, but I just don't think he has anything positive to say. And I think the whole tactic of drawing on people's past, I mean, how far does that go? I mean, theoretically, you could say, when you were born, you cried, so you're a crier.
Well, it gets worse than that, because they also will bring up somebody else's past and then ask you to condemn that person's past.
And completely obfuscate whatever it is that they're trying to talk about, the topic. And then Carvel, as much as I like him, you know, it's like, you know, get the sentence out, dude. You know what I mean? Pick it up. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, he just garbles things. And, you know, and he's saying all the right stuff, but he's a garbler.
That's since he got married.
Married because he can't get a word in? Is that what you're saying?
Hey.
I think it's good for your workout, though, to be all fired up. I think if they
Absolutely.
Had someone on that you agreed with, you wouldn't be in such great shape.
Yes. Well, actually, I watched somebody I was in agreement with.
And how'd that feel? Did you slow down?
No, it was Anna Nicole Smith. It was one of those shows.
Which part of her do you agree with, Mark?
Both parts.
Oh, right.
You know, it was
both
just something
parts.
That was on. I'm looking, and all of a sudden she's in the back of a limo talking, and then they flash to a picture of Howard Stern. So I don't know what it was. It was just Anna Nicole Smith.
You know what's amazing about Anna Nicole Smith, and I don't want to get too crass or too base in the morning.
Go ahead, get crass.
Or too obvious.
Get crass, get base. Get obvious.
No, it was just that, you know, she's a spokesperson for this, whatever it is that she used to.
Trim spa.
To lose weight. And they have the before and after pictures. And, you know, I'm honestly okay with both of them. You know, there was never a point where I looked at Anna Nicole Smith and said she's too fat to be sexy. I think she was sexy all around. I think she's sexy high, not high, fat, not fat. It doesn't matter. Her sex appeal transcends whatever horrendous, you know, personal problem she's going through or however much fat she
carries
around.
Maybe we'll have to get her up here since you...
I didn't say I want to talk to her. But I just found myself, I honestly had that conversation with myself when I was looking at the poster. Like, she looks fine, 300 pounds. I have no problem with that.
Shall we get to the heavy issues of the day?
No. Weren't we just talking about the heavy issues?
Yes, we were. But these are some other heavy
issues. All right. Let's do it.
Like a virus, the scandal of the U.S. military's abuse of Iraqi prisoners, I should say some of the U.S. military's abuse of Iraqi prisoners, is spreading. The Senate Armed Services Committee, and we talked, of course, to the ranking Democrat, Senator Carl Levin, yesterday, came out of a briefing with Pentagon officials saying it's possible abuses occurred in other Iraqi prisons and in Afghanistan. The report on abuse allegations has become a political football itself. Senate Democrats want to know why the president, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, and Joint Chiefs Chair Richard Myers are just now absorbing its contents 2 months after it's released. For his part, the Defense Secretary says the Bush administration is on the case.
We acknowledge the problem publicly, and we did. The second task is to try to do everything possible to ascertain whether or not any similar instances of abuse could be going on, continuing in some other location or that location. The third task is to address it from a systemic standpoint.
Rumsfeld also says the abuse is unacceptable and un-American. Yet the Republican chair of the Armed Services Committee, John Warner, says the Congress wasn't informed in a timely fashion.
This incident really stands in terms of the number of allegations without parallel. Very little other that parallels this elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. That was John Warner. He's the chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee. There were other revelations Tuesday that hinted at the depth of this problem. The Army says one soldier was court-martialed for shooting an Iraqi prisoner to death last September.
Because the guy threw rocks at him.
Yeah. The soldier was reduced in rank and dismissed from the Army but did no jail time. Another Iraqi prisoner was murdered by a CIA contractor in November of last year. No legal action was taken by the military, but the case was referred to the Justice Department, where it is now being investigated.
That's because the contractors exist in some sort of weird free moral zone.
Yeah.
There's no way to judge them or accuse them of anything, and there's no legal system in place in Iraq, and there's no international law that has anything to do with contractors. Don't you think that they must have known that when they brought these guys in? Don't you think on some level it was thought about by the Pentagon that's like, if we use these contractors until we're busted, they can do anything they want. They're cowboys. They live in a lawless world.
Okay. I wish they had thought about it, but I think the problem is that it wasn't, you know, the reason this has happened to this extent is that it actually wasn't thought
but
about.
What I'm saying is that they did that on purpose.
I don't know. I just think it was so muddled and so badly thought through that they just didn't consider this. They didn't think that they were going to, the war was going to drag on for this long, that they were going to be, kind of, you know, managing prisons in this way, that it was a sign of how bad the whole thing was.
As I think they are?
I think they're very disorganized, and perhaps in its own way, that's sort of immoral. And I don't think they set out thinking, let's make sure there's a loophole. We should ask, who's it, Peter McGuire, who's coming on later in the show, who's a legal expert, who can maybe kind of tell us, you know, if any of these things are possible to be prosecuted by international law.
I don't even know if there's a precedent, but it's weird that I aspire, or I put so much evil on, like, I think that on some level they can go, like, look, we got these contractors, we can cut corners, they'll come in, they don't have to answer to anybody, and we can use them. Like, there's no reason to even have covert operations anymore when you have these private companies that don't have to answer to anybody except the guy, you know, in the head office at home.
But, I mean, at this point, this CIA contractor has gotten a free pass for murder. The military took no action against him. They didn't even hold him. And, you know, they passed the information on to the Justice Department. The Justice Department is investigating. While they're investigating, he's not in prison.
Right, but you know how they punished him? They took down his Employee of the Week thing back home
at
corporate headquarters.
I don't know who, which contractor it was. And it's interesting that neither the soldier nor the contractor, these two people who apparently committed homicide, have been identified by anybody.
Isn't it? But that's so, it's insane that they're not being held accountable or charged with murder by anybody.
By anybody.
I mean, it's a public relations disaster. I'd be very curious to see. Did you guys notice that George Bush is apparently speaking to two Arabic networks in Iraq today to try to explain to the Iraqi people how this was, you know, an aberration and that it's being treated with the utmost seriousness and these things will not go unprosecuted.
The president himself is doing that?
George Bush himself, but interestingly, he won't go on Al Jazeera. He's going on Al Hara and Al Arabiya, two other networks. He won't go on Al Jazeera, and I think that's a mistake. If you want to quell the flames of anger against the United States and try and restore the image of America as a place to be respected and that will respect Iraqis, you've got to go on Al Jazeera.
Well, maybe he's promoting some sort of, you know, free market capitalism, thinking that, like, Al Jazeera's got all the ratings. Maybe I'm going to go on the other two to bolster their ratings a little bit, make it a competitive marketplace.
Well, these are the networks that they're trying to promote with American money to give some kind of new democratic outlet in the news media for Iraqis. They are seen as more favorable to the United States.
But didn't they have a problem with Arabiya? Didn't the Bush administration have a problem with them at one point for something they did?
I thought it was a problem. I wonder if they're going to start running MTV and they're going to start doing all that stuff that so offends the Arab population.
It's called market penetration.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Is this really a political thing to promote democracy, or is it a business move?
Do you think that Bush should be in a music video and that would go down better?
Maybe.
There's bad news, by the way, for many of the soldiers who thought they might be coming home from Iraq anytime soon. The Defense Department now says that 47,000 new troops will be added. Some troops that were supposed to be rotated out will not be rotated out. So they were talking about dropping the total number to 115,000 this spring. It is apparently going to stay at somewhere between 128,000 and 135,000 through the end of not this year, but next year, 2005.
God, that's not good news for a lot of people in the military. Man, a lot of people were pissed yesterday, I bet.
Can I just correct something before I get all of our emailers correcting me? Is that Al Arabiya, I don't think that is the network that has American money. I think that's Al Iraqiya.
Yeah, okay.
But my pronunciation's great, don't you think?
Yeah, it is, because I wouldn't know how to say it if you hadn't said it first. That's for sure.
And that's Sedition at AirAmericaRadio.com. Morning Sedition.
We're going to have a little segment where you can slam Sue. That's a
Sedition.
Slam Sue segment, right, in the 7 o'clock hour.
No, there'll be none of that.
Hold fire. Wait for the next hour. When I'm on my new break.
Marin's got the corner on slams.
Okay.
Wait a minute. So you're talking. So the military, now they're calling up how many? 47,000 more?
47,000 more.
They're going to put 10,000 into action like in the next month or two, right?
Yep. And you know what this means. And I think 10,000 are active.
I'll tell you what it means, Riley. It means a lot of contractors are being sent home.
Well, see, there's no word on whether or not the contractor or the mercenary troop strength will remain the same or whether they'll drop because of the numbers of actual legitimate U.S. troops will be increased. But what it speaks to, I think, is just it's something you spoke to earlier, Sue, that this kind of general feeling of chaos, this idea that really they're reacting to events as they happen in terms of the troop strength, in terms of these investigations. It's almost like, well, okay, we'll treat each one of these things as a separate incident and deal with it as it comes without having an overall kind of strategy for how to deal with
chaos, or as Rumsfeld says, democracy in the raw.
There you go.
Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot, plus our magical journey into the land where conservatives run free, right here on Air America Radio.
Welcome to Glasses on Tape.
Okay.
Let's begin. Open your color-coded guidebooks to the yellow section.
Yellow.
Encouraging phrases. Ready?
Oh, wait, I don't have my
ear. Now, repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test.
Son?
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, son, you did great on that test.
How did you do? Try it again.
Son, you did great on...
Again.
Son, you did great on that... Wait. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. In fact, encouraging your kids to stay in school is something every parent can do. Talk to them. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-FORAKID. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of grubs, eating machines destroying your lawn. They eat and eat and eat. End the destruction all season. With Bayer Advanced Season-Long Grub Control with Merit, one application protects your yard in two ways, killing more grubs than any other product, plus providing season-long protection against future grub problems. Guaranteed. No wonder Merit from Bayer is the number one choice of professionals. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results.
If you have diabetes, you already know you could develop kidney failure, lose a limb, or go blind. But did you know that 2 out of 3 people with diabetes actually die from heart disease or stroke? If you have diabetes, you can lower your risk of heart attack or stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Get plenty of exercise, eat healthy, and don't smoke. Ask your doctor to tell you about other ways to lower your chance of a fatal heart attack or stroke. The link between diabetes and heart disease is strong. Ask your doctor to tell you more or call 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Or visit us online at www.diabetes.org. A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life, good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Good morning. It's Mark Maron here on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. It is now 22 past the hour. Look at Sue Ellicott over there with her masses of paper.
Masses.
The big research.
I'm just trying to sleep under it.
She's got legal pads, stacks of masses. She looks like a schizophrenic in a coffee shop.
Oh, my God.
It leaves fewer marks on my skin than newsprint.
Ah, there you go.
So I have health care. Do you, Riley?
Yeah, I think when they hired us, they kind of sort of said we had something.
I don't know what my recourse is. I had some oral surgery done, and there's part of my lip, my lower lip, that's forever numb. Can I sue, or what do I do? Like, it's numb right here. I don't know if it's like a handicap. I can't really say, well, I can't.
Live with it,
feel,
move on.
Exactly, right? But isn't that weird that a guy could just do that, do some oral surgery, screw up like that, and it's just like, it's maybe just a little spot on my lower lip that's numb, and it really, like I said, it doesn't bother me.
Have you
me.
Called the guy back and said, hey, you screwed up?
Yeah, like, what's he going to say? Well, we can put a prosthetic lip in. I don't know what he's going to say, but, you know, I just have to live with it.
Kiss the other side.
Yeah, or smack it around till you get some feeling.
Yeah, that's what I do sometimes, just to play with it.
Well, are you spending more for your health care and getting less for your dollar? You may not be alone. A study of health care in 5 rich countries, okay, not even, you know, middle-class countries, 5 rich countries, says that while no country has clearly the best or worst, that is, health care system, the U.S. isn't getting much bang for the buck. America spends twice as much on health care as virtually any other nation on earth, yet health outcomes here are not substantially better. The numbers are $4,887 per capita in the U.S., in Canada, $2,792, Australia, $2,513, and $1,992 in Great Britain.
So we're spending more, and we're not even getting, you know, it's not that we're not getting.
If we're
money.
Spending more, we should really have better numbers.
Yeah, they should
than
have
these other.
They
places.
should have cured death by now.
Well, yeah.
If we're spending that kind of money, we should live forever.
Why did anybody waste the money on a study to tell us that? Don't you just know from personal experience or talking to your friends and family that that is the case, that people don't get good value for money with their health care?
But see, what they
Everybody
were doing...
Everybody different, though.
No,
what they get is fancy doctor's offices. You go to England, you get treated in a field.
But everybody, see, the thing is, everybody may know that here, but this study wasn't just done here.
Right.
It was done in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Britain, and the United States. 5 rich...
English-speaking
countries. And what you find is that there are differences. You know, for example, the breast cancer rate is better in the United States than it is in Britain. There are all these different outcomes that are different. But the bottom line is America has fewer doctors, fewer nurses, fewer hospital beds than any of the other four. Yet we're paying $4,887 per person versus much less for these other places.
Well, I know why one reason is because my father is a retired doctor, and he will actually sometimes blame the HMO system for pushing him out.
Really?
Is that, yeah, you get a lot of guys who went into being doctors for the right reason, to help people and cure the sick and take care of people who need help. And what happened was when the HMO system took hold is that what's in between the doctor and the patients are now, you know, they're not even other doctors or hospital administrators. They're literally insurance companies. So there's a state of permanent triage going on where a doctor, if he's a good doctor, will say, well, I want to treat this guy like this. And they'll say, well, that's going to cost too much money. We don't think it's necessary. So doctors are not allowed to be the kind of doctor that they set out to be. They're limited by the insurance company representatives. And a lot of them are just like, well, you know, the hell with it then. They're paying me like a civil servant, and they're not letting me treat patients properly. So why do I – and malpractice insurance is like $250,000 a year if you're in private practice or more. So what's the incentive for people to be doctors anymore if they can't even be good doctors?
Well, you got actuaries deciding what level of health care.
Which is ridiculous because that's just sort of like, you know, we're going to lose a few.
But, you know, people with health care, national health care in those other countries are just astounded that really the richest country, the most powerful country in the world, the United States, does not have universal health care.
I know.
That some of the, you know, some of the cities and, you know, poor places in America, that the infant mortality rate,
it's like third world disease rate.
The people can't believe that. They're just absolutely scandalous. If you want a very good health care system, you have to move to France.
I got to tell
you, it's the best in Europe.
I had occasion to use Britain's much maligned health care system. My daughter had an accident when we were over there in 2000, split her head open.
The accidents are fine. Emergency health care and childbirth, fantastic.
And they didn't charge me a dime.
Stuff, cancer, anything else you have to
wait longer term.
People die. People wait 2 years before they get cancer treatment. That kind of stuff. The reason things cost so much in America is that you can, if you have money and you live in a big city like New York with, you know, phenomenal health care, some of the best surgeons and specialist doctors on your doorstep, you can get your treatment straight away. Mm-hmm. You won't get it at all.
If I go to France, will I get my lip back?
Okay, marry a French girl. Oh, no, you can't.
I'm already married. So right now it's time for our exclusive look at the president's Palm Pilot, which he loads up every morning from the WhiteHouse.gov's presidential calendar. Here it is. Here's the president's day. 8 a.m., wake up. Continue to allow American press and public to misunderestimate me. 9 a.m. reading. Discover that W Magazine isn't about me. 11 a.m. meeting with fellow alumni at Yale and Harvard. Discuss how much I hate elitists. 1 p.m. meet with Singapore Prime Minister Goh Kok Tong. Practice saying name without hocking a loogie. 3 p.m. spend afternoon in recording studio trying to get I'm George W. Bush and I approve this ad to finally sound right. 6 p.m. buy Karen Hughes mask for Laura. 9 p.m. bedtime. Have staffer read reassuring poll numbers until I fall asleep. Fudge numbers if necessary. Hey, good idea. 9, 10 p.m. fudge.
All right. Coming up, does President Bush really eat all those pancakes he's been flipping? When we come back here on Air America Radio.
His name was York. And when Lewis and Clark set out in 1804, he was a slave, William Clark's slave. But when he left so-called civilization, York became something altogether different. He became free. He became an elite hunter and explorer. He was revered by the Indians, and he was given the right to vote before most African Americans were given the right to speak. But York's bravest act came at trail's end when he demanded his freedom Because as Lewis and Clark returned to accolades, York returned to slavery. Some say York was eventually freed. Others say he went west because what he found on the trail was a thing no man could ever give him. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The troop strength in the U.S. occupation of Iraq will stay at 135,000. Through the year 2005, the military admits the country is far more dangerous than previously thought. The boost in the number of troops comes amid a rising death toll of American soldiers. More and more revelations are surfacing about Iraqi prisoner abuse at the hands of American soldiers. The issue of abuse in Iraq and Afghanistan is far worse than first thought. An embarrassed President Bush will face Arab television to answer questions about the incidents. An Israeli military court has indicted a 15-year-old Palestinian boy for recruiting teenagers for suicide bombing attacks. It's the first time such charges have ever been brought against a Palestinian young person. And a new poll says President Bush remains neck and neck with Democratic presidential rival John Kerry in a two-way race. This with Bush just one percentage point over Kerry. But if you throw in third-party candidate Ralph Nader, John Kerry loses.
Hi. I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York.
Hello, this is Della Reese, and I'd like for you to meet Faith in Action. Faith in Action means that people keep their independence. How? By getting help from volunteers. People of different faiths who shop, cook, drive, or just check in on some of the millions of Americans with long-term health care needs. If you're like me and have wondered how you can make a difference, volunteer with Faith in Action. They know how to use your time and talents right in your community. Even just a few hours can make a world of difference. A neighbor's independence depends on you and me. Faith in Action. Try it. Find out how good it feels at faithinaction.org or toll free 1-877-FAITH-11. That's faithinaction.org or toll free 1-877-FAITH-11.
The Majority Report.
Did you ever think he would become president of the United States?
No, I didn't think so. When he even ran for the presidency, I thought the American people are not that gullible.
Wrong!
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
He was defeated, so not that gullible, but still...
They were gullible enough to believe that the Supreme Court was an institution that had a shred of honor and decency left.
Air America's Majority Report. Weeknights 8 to 11 on Air America Radio.
Good morning, it's Wednesday. You can do it. You can do it.
You know what?
You can do Wednesday.
I'm not going to believe this. I just had this incredible surge of energy. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it happened.
I was kicking your chair.
Hold on. Let me check your computer screen.
No.
I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Reilly and Sue Elcott. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm reading some of your emails. You can email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. Maybe we'll read some of those out loud in a minute. But right now, we've got an interesting guest on the line. Middle East, Middle Earth, it can get confusing. But one professor and author out there says conservatives may have begun to blur the line just a bit too much. So are conservatives living in a fantasy world? Are we descending into the dark ages? Joining us now to help us answer these questions is Scott Baker, cultural critic, professor of pop culture, and author of novels, including the upcoming The Darkness That Comes Before. How are you, sir? Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Nice to see you or hear you or talk to you. Scott, what exactly is your theory about conservatives and fantasies? Lay it on us.
Well, there's two sides to the issue. There's Bush and there's the people who vote for Bush. So I'm not sure which direction you'd like to go.
I say we cover both directions, but let's start with the people that vote for Bush, because I know that I don't live in that land all the time.
Okay, well, that's actually the kind of complicated side.
All right, we'll start with the simple one. Let's go with what you want to go with.
Okay, well, let's go with George Bush.
All right, let's do that.
That's
okay,
simple enough.
I mean, as most people know, George Bush is evangelical Christian. And one of the things I like doing in my pop culture classes is teaching my students the similarities between the Lord of the Rings and the Holy Bible. If you look at George Bush's world, you realize pretty quickly that it's a world that, it's structured by apocalyptic conflict. It's structured by divinity and magic.
It's a mythological landscape.
Yeah, and it possesses moral absolutes. So, mythological landscape. And, I mean, has all the characteristics that we'd normally attribute to a fantasy world.
Right. Well, but the only problem is that with moral absolutes and, you know, with mythologies, they're designed to learn moral lessons. With reality, you don't really want them playing out like that, do you?
Well, of course not. I mean, the thing is that, I mean, as human beings, we all share, you know, cognitive shortcomings. We all have the same kind of foibles of reason that we fall into all the time. And, I mean, the three most common ones are probably flattery. We like believing things that flatter us.
Yes.
Simplicity.
I love that. I just read three emails and made my whole morning. Yeah.
We like things that are simple, like mm-hmm. implausibly simplistic. Mm-hmm. And we despise uncertainty. We absolutely hate uncertainty. So we tend to always gravitate towards belief systems that we find flattering. I mean, if you're going to be the chosen one amongst world of damned souls, I mean, that's pretty flattering. We like very, very simple ideas. I'm not sure if anyone there watched the Frontline special.
I did. It was very disturbing.
Very, very disturbing. Very interesting. I mean, one of the pastors they interviewed said that when times get tough, you realize that you're not in charge.
Sorry, Scott, this was the Frontline show that was about George Bush's religion and how much it affects his policy and, you know, who he is as a leader, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But you're saying that to have these simple solutions and to have all these sort of buttons of closure is really completely unrealistic and almost delusional to the point where he's living in a fantasy world. Is that the point?
Well, it's delusional. It's delusional as far as the world's complicated, incredibly
right.
uncertain, and
mm-hmm.
if anything, not flattering. So it's delusional in that sense. It's fantastic in the sense that it's actually characterized by these features that if you put them in a work of fiction, like, say, Lord of the Rings,
right.
you would say that this is a fantasy world. If you create a world structured by divinity and magic, a world that's, you know, riven by apocalyptic conflict, you'd automatically say this is a fantasy world. And most epic fantasies you read actually live in worlds very, very similar to the world that George Bush lives in.
Scott Baker, you know, sometimes when people start comparing film to the Bible or film to religion, folks get a little upset, some of the people that live in this same fantasy world. People haven't come after you for making these kinds of parallels, for drawing these kinds of conclusions?
Well, I mean, it's troubling for a lot of people. I mean, the problem really isn't the, you know, religion. I mean, a lot of people would actually blame things like 9/11 and all sorts of different types of acts on religion. The problem is actually certainty. The problem is this human weakness we have, this bias for certainty. We claim to be certain about things we have absolutely no real knowledge about whatsoever.
Is it not just politicians who claim to be certain, and that we want to be assured by them?
I mean,
uncertainty.
They're selling a product, right? And you know, anytime you're selling a product, you basically cater to people's desires, and people want to be certain. It seems. I mean, people actually they want to be frightened sometimes. It seems as well.
Well, they want to have what I think what they want to have is hope, and they'd rather have hope than fear. And if you play to people's, you know, sort of delusional sense that there's hope, you are able to sort of manipulate them, because when there's a tremendous amount of fear, people will believe just about anything because they need to feel connected to something, and Bush sort of taps into that.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I sometimes think that people would rather die deluded than live in uncertainty. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about that.
Well, some people would argue that's like part of the human mental makeup, you know, like Ernest Becker and Sigmund Freud, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it definitely is. I mean, it's just one of a whole array of cognitive shortcomings that we have. I mean, confirmation bias, social proof bias. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We're actually quite bad when it comes to knowing. I mean, the real crime is that we're not taught any of this stuff when we're in high school. So we come out of high school, I mean, life's about making decisions, and reasoning and knowing your own shortcomings is basically key to making the proper decisions, and yet you're never taught any of that in high school.
Well, thanks a lot, Scott Baker. Very interesting stuff. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Okay.
You take care. We've got the liberal agenda up ahead, and many, many other fun things, laws and warfare, and some very heavy things as well. So stay with us. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Welcome to Tape 5, The Backpat. Let's say your child comes home from high school. They did something good. It's time to give them The Backpat. Now you try The Backpat. That's it. And pat, pat, pat.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4-KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
We would go from venue to venue across the southern United States and travel in a van that ran both on biodiesel gas and also on straight French fry grease.
That's singer-songwriter Rachel Garland from Berkeley, California, singing the praises of Turin on biodiesel.
Our objective was to spread the word that there are alternatives to petroleum.
Garland admits that people are overwhelmed when facing our eco problems, but grassroots education is key.
These local solutions will serve to inspire and activate us and energize us so that we can continue to spread these local solutions until they become global solutions.
Fill her up with alternative fuel online at
www.rachelgarland.com.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
At Volunteers of America, we don't just give kids a way to stay off the streets. We give them the tools they need to reach their full potential. We don't just help the elderly receive needed care. We help them live life to the fullest. We don't just provide food for homeless individuals and families. We provide job training and placements so they can buy groceries. Volunteers of America is a national organization that for over 100 years has provided programs and services that allow people to overcome their challenges to become vital members of their community. At Volunteers of America, we don't just help people, we help people help themselves. Find out how you can support the programs that are working in your community. Contact Volunteers of America today. Call 1-800-899-0089. That's 1-800-899-0089.
Hello, this is Danny Glover. I'm giving a wake-up call to every man in America. At every age, men have poorer health and a higher risk of mortality than women. We take more risks, handle stress differently, and are less likely to schedule checkups or to follow up when symptoms arise. If you want to be a man and take care of your family, see a doctor and find out what might go wrong before it does.
For more information, contact the W.K. Kellogg Foundation at WKKF.org.
Go Wednesday. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Sue Ellicott. Mark Riley.
Ew.
We're here. We're hanging out. And I just got an email. This is from, doesn't matter. With regard to the contractor/mercenaries, should they not be sent to Guantanamo Bay together with all the other illegal combatants? Interesting point. And we also, I saw some footage or some press pictures. What is it with presidents and candidates and, you know, flipping pancakes. You know, to what is the symbology there? The symbolic gesture of flipping pancakes.
Symbolism.
The symbolism.
You're doing a Bush. You're channeling Bush.
I make up words, too. What is the symbological significance of such an activity?
I think
the symbolistic symbols.
I think it has to do with having declared a burger to be a... you remember they said that flipping burgers became...
a manufacturing
job. He's showing that if he's out there. I'm one of you boys. I take off my jacket, roll up my sleeves, and I'm working on the front line.
You think that's it? See, I think it's like Howard Dean did. I think pancakes sort of have this kind of down-home kind of, we're just eating a good...
Oh, it's all of that stuff.
Big breakfast.
Every man.
I don't think people are looking at him going, he's a pancake manufacturer, I identify.
No, but he's like his dad and the porky scratchings. Those pork rinds.
Fried pork rinds. And I believe that...
I don't know why anybody eats pork rinds.
What a mistake that was. You know, who does eat pork rinds?
Drunk people in pubs in England eat them. They taste really good after 15 pints of lukewarm beer.
That's what I call... I think that's like self-hate cuisine. It's like there's no reason to eat it other than you're feeding some sort of like, I hate me. I'm eating fried pig fat.
But it tastes good.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, bacon is the best food on the planet.
Bacon is not pork rinds. Pork rinds are those puffy, kind of tasteless, weird, greasy, crispy things. Bacon is indeed the best food on the planet.
You don't like those inch-long hairs that come out of the pieces of pork?
Man, where do you get
pork rinds and oats?
I got one word for you,
bodega. Visit. You want to know about pork rinds? Go to a. For some reason, bodegas always have like rows and rows of pork rinds.
Britain, where they have blood sausage, which is just sort of like, you know, weird kind of bloody. What is that? What is blood pudding? It's like a sausage, but it's not really a sausage. It's just congealed blood.
I think it's like bits of oatmeal and other unmentionables bound together with blood and cooked.
Ooh. Man, you guys are you're at the cutting edge of nasty cuisine.
That's old cuisine, man, where I came from.
Yeah? Did you grow up with that for breakfast?
No, I did not. No. I grew up with something called hog's pudding, which was a sort of white sausage, which was basically all of that stuff without the blood. So it's white, and then you cut it into slices and fry it in the frying pan.
Oh, it's pudding. Why did they call it pudding? Pudding's supposed to be yummy and smooth and good.
And I had to walk across 2 fields in the rain from my boarding school just to get breakfast.
They ruin things with those names, pudding and porridge. Pudding's supposed to be fun. Hog's pudding.
Gruel. I've never been able to figure out gruel, but I don't know if that's uniquely British or not. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, who knows about who about his pancakes, but it's all part of Bush's message to show that the economy is strong and is getting better. And even though he's standing in a state that has lost hundreds of thousands of jobs since he came to office, he somehow thinks he can get away with it. And that he can target Kerry as the guy who is going to, across the board, tax everybody, including the middle classes, more heavily. Let's hear what he said yesterday.
Heck, we got 6 months to go, and the fellow I'm running against is already over $1 trillion in new programs. We're counting them up. And he said he's going to pay for it by tax on the rich. You can't tax the rich enough to pay for all his promises. So guess who's going to pay? You're going to pay.
God, I started to seethe. I literally, like, you know, I'm so happy when he has that tone where I don't feel anywhere pitiful. I don't think he's pitiful, but I just hear that weird bullying, condescending, kind of Mussolini-ish disposition.
Well, you know, the key to what he just said, he says, we're counting the numbers. Now, in March 2002, George W. Bush said, quoting here, I'm not a numbers cruncher. I'm not one of those bean counters. So I assume somebody's feeding him these numbers that he's throwing out.
Yeah, he also said on December 22nd, 2003, I'm not an Iraqi citizen.
Thanks for sharing. You know, could he be elected president if he was an Iraqi citizen?
No. What else did he say? I'm not a member of the legislative branch.
He's not a stockbroker or a stock picker.
I'm not a lawyer.
But what he is not very original. I mean, it's just...
He's not even the president.
He has to come back and kind of bash Kerry on the taxes stuff. That's you know, the standard. You know, Democrats are going to raise your taxes. That's the best he can do. He's in a state where he dare not admit that the federal government has been trying to take $1 billion off training programs for people who had been out of work long term. He can't mention the stuff that is really kind of undermining people's lives in the states he's visiting on his bus tour. He has to distract and just go on and give some kind of knee-jerk rant against Kerry on taxes. You could have pulled that sentence from any Republican incumbent against a Democratic challenger from any presidential election, probably within living memory.
It's hacky, is what you're saying. It's hack. It's hack campaign stuff.
Of course it's hack campaign stuff. He's in a crucial state. He's in a battleground state. He wants to win. He carried it by 4 percentage points 4 years ago, and he wants to widen that margin. And he's going to a place like Toledo where there are huge numbers of unemployed people.
Right, and bankruptcy is at all-time high.
Yeah. I mean, so what are you saying?
I'm saying we'll be back with the liberal agenda right after this. Air America Radio.
There was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once. Planet Check.
Evolution is a beautiful thing. Lori Demerit from the Hartman Group explains.
What we have confirmed through that behavioral study, and we've been doing that for about 10 years, that consumers absolutely are changing the way they're living their lives.
Surprisingly, this positive change is driven by lifestyle, not demographics.
We find that consumers of all different ages, incomes, education levels, ethnicities are interested in health and wellness products.
It's no longer just their personal health, but the health of their world.
What happens is they start to become more concerned about environmental attributes. We do find that consumers are looking for products that reflect their values. That can be anything from health to environmental concerns.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check, your daily one-minute terrestrial examination. Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Car 44, proceed to Beale Street. Unsafe trampoline in progress.
That's us, Sam.
Right, Pete. Step on it.
All right, kids, come down off that thing real slow.
What's the problem, officer? Were the children doing something wrong?
Unsafe trampoline, ma'am. Your kids were asking for trouble.
But it's just a backyard toy.
Ma'am, trampolines cause 91,000 emergency room injuries in 1 year. We say one kid on a tramp is one kid too many. Two kids, you're playing with fire.
At the very least, you need protective padding around the frame here. And always, an adult spotter.
Say, who are you guys anyway?
We're everywhere, son. We're the Trampolice.
For more on trampoline safety, visit AAOS.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
Planet Check. Planet Check.
I never thought about the problems of this planet at all.
That's Fat Mike from the punk band NoFX and PunkVoter.com.
Well, PunkVoter.com is the organization we started after the 2000 presidential election, and we've been building it for almost 4 years now. We've got a couple hundred bands that all are taking a stand.
Billy Joe from Green Day, The Offspring, and Jane Wheeland from The Go-Go's have also jumped on the bandwagon.
No Doubt have just joined up with us. And the Foo Fighters. What George Bush is doing, he's dismantling 30 years of environmental law. He's a scary man. He's not a compassionate conservative. He's a religious fundamentalist.
Check out www.punkvoter.com for news items and t-shirts for sale.
The more money we get, the more advertisement we're doing, and the more bands we can get on the road to educate the kids of America on what's going on.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to tatmail.com, where environmentally conscious Americans get their internet access for free. Tatmail.com, helping people and the planet. And the planet.
Good God, it's Wednesday. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, C. Ellicott, on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We've been, what's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Chris needs to run another commercial. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you like soldiering, but also nude photography? Do you enjoy protecting oil workers and directing rubber BDSM fetish layouts? Well, picture this. At CACI International Defense Contractors, we can put you behind enemy lines and behind the camera. We're looking for people with previous military training and a good eye for composition. High voltage personalities to work with high voltage. Our instructors have had their pictures in Penthouse, Playboy, Soldier of Fortune, Mercenary Resource, Private Army Magazine, and Tricorderly Interrogator. Pose with your models. Put your models in a pile. Anything goes if you keep an eye on the perimeter.
See all you can see at CACI International.
Defense Contractors, Arlington, Virginia.
So, Sue, you were talking about we were off.
I'm just recovering from the commercial.
Yeah, well, you know, you just got to get the commercials where you can get them at this point. You know, we're just starting up here at the network, and we can only, money is money.
That's as good a reason as any for that.
And capitalism does work on some level.
One was sponsored by Al Qaeda.
Yeah. Right.
So you were talking to us off mic about some people you know in L.A. who had some airport security problems.
No, British friends of mine who'd gone back to visit their family. A friend of mine who's working in London, his wife and kids are in L.A., and they went over to visit for 2 weeks with their mother-in-law who'd come from Chile. And they left, and they went into L.A., and it turned out that the mum, who's a friend of mine, who's lived in L.A. for 3 or 4 years, they have a home, they have social security numbers, they pay their taxes, the kids are in public school. Her visa was not correct or something. They've become, since 9/11, there are really tight restrictions now on coming in and out of the country if you weren't born in America, no matter if you're a citizen of the kind of leading coalition member in the effort against terrorism with a British passport. And they said that one of the kids' visas, or two of the kids' visas and the mum's visa, were for some reason not up to date. They let the mother, they let granny and one grandchild go home, and they put my friend and two kids overnight in a jail.
How old were the kids?
The kids were almost two.
Well, that explains it. A two-year-old is a threat.
Two and four. Two and four,
two
almost
and
five,
four.
Maybe.
In jail,
and then sent them back to London. And they are now back in London trying to figure out, getting these visas updated so they can come back in.
And the four-year-old still under investigation.
I mean, I understand in a time of an emergency or in a time of law that, there has to be some, not bending of rules, but kind of, unusual measures taken. If you seem to have come across a legitimate terrorist threat, but, British passport holder, long-term resident, all the official papers you need to be resident in the United States, with small kids, it just seems that there is no application of common sense to the rules when someone is not a threat. Yet, when it comes to detaining people in Guantanamo or tagging people as material witnesses or enemy combatants, they can be stashed away in jails and holding places without access to lawyers, no formal charges, and the American public can't even find out how many detainees there are.
But these people, these friends of yours, they live in L.A.,
They
right?
live in L.A.
So now they have to go back to England where they don't live in what state?
That's
the,
correct.
The in-laws' house, and what happens
They're
now?
They're staying at in-laws' house. Well, I'm going to call them today and find out what's going on.
That's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
You know what it is? You need to move those troops north like Rumsfeld told you.
Yeah, well,
that's what they're saying to the British. It's time to move those troops north.
Oh, so you're saying that this is... Well, here's the facts from the Streisand compound. It is the liberal agenda for today, so get your notepads and your pencils or pens. Here's your marching orders. 1, key the paint on random SUVs. 2, give federal grants to any artist who works in urine. 3, refer to the Bush administration as America's provisional occupation government. That's funny. 4, have tarot cards read. Depending on answers, volunteer at food bank or relax at a day spa. And 5, help poor families combat rising milk prices by donating breast milk and cheese to local shelter. Breast cheese? Wow.
It's got to be better than head cheese.
Wow.
Or toe cheese.
Breast cheese. Did you hear about, we got to talk about that later too, Barbra Streisand, Billy Crystal, and Neil Diamond performing at a Carey fundraiser? That sounds like a night in hell.
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond's great, but he's 90. I'm glad they're raising money for Carey, but I mean, can't we get some hipster entertainers?
Still to come on Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Disney versus Michael Moore, and a special award for a crybaby. This and more when Air America Radio continues.
I went to turn off my computer last night, and a window came up asking if I was sure I wanted to shut down. Am I sure? How can I be sure about anything when I'm trying to sell my house?
If you're looking to sell your house, Coldwell Banker can ease your mind. Our extensive online exposure means your home gets shown through award-winning local and national websites. Coldwell Banker. Visit ColdwellBanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by Energy Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne for RAN. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Drinking and driving don't mix. So if you've been drinking, don't drive. Choose a designated driver. The life you save, maybe you own. And remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. It seems the Bush White House is doing more to distance itself from one-time Iraqi friend, Ahmad Shalabi, the leader of the Iraqi National Congress. Shalabi and the administration were once on the same page because of Shalabi's opposition to Saddam Hussein during the 1990s. Now the White House is reportedly reviewing electronic intercepts in which Shalabi is accused of sharing sensitive information with the Iranian government. Story first surfaced in Newsweek magazine. Both Iraqi National Congress and supporters categorically deny the charge. Shalabi and the U.S. government have been slowly on the outs. Recently, the INC leader sharply criticized Bush for his blueprint for erecting a new Iraqi government post-June 30th. Despite the growing number of American losses, the U.S. military yesterday said troop strength will remain at 135,000 through the year 2005. That's up from 115,000, which the administration had called for early in the year. The boost in American manpower is virtual acknowledgement that the administration admits Iraq is far more dangerous than first thought. More and more information is beginning to surface on Iraqi prisoner abuse at the hands of American soldiers. Among the new revelations was the actions of an American soldier who had been court-martialed for using excessive force in shooting to death an Iraqi prisoner last September. The soldier was reduced in rank and later dismissed. The Army also revealed that it passed on a case to the Justice Department involving a CIA contract interrogator allegedly responsible for the death of an Iraqi prisoner in November. State Secretary Colin Powell, echoing the others in the Bush White House, finds the abuse issue appalling.
What happened in this particular instance, as best I know from the pictures, was just totally despicable. There's no way to describe it. And it isn't just the fact that soldiers did it, but no American should do this to any other person.
State Secretary Colin Powell. Both President Bush and John Kerry spent yesterday campaigning in key swing states. Kerry was in New Mexico, where he said he would be the real education president if he's elected in November. In Dayton, Ohio, President Bush assured people the economy is on the upswing, despite the loss of 270,000 jobs in the state since he took office. He also took the opportunity to poke fun at what he sees as his opponent's elitism. He referred to a comment Kerry may have made once, claiming that some foreign leaders had endorsed him.
Just because somebody has an interesting accent, a nice suit, and a good table at a New York restaurant doesn't make them a foreign leader. Whoever these mystery men are will not be deciding the election. The American people will be deciding this election.
Meanwhile, it turns out the Yes America cam bus carrying Bush across the Midwest was made in Canada. A Bush campaign spokesman pointed out that the engine and tires were made in America, but a Kerry counterpart said the problem isn't the bus he's riding on, it's the failed economic policies he's driving. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The flower garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the flower gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Planet check.
Clear skies, healthy forests. Don't believe the hype.
Clear skies. They use rhetoric that resonates with people, but the reality of their environmental programs is dirty air, dirty water.
That's Carol Browner, former EPA administrator under Clinton.
The current administration has been very successful in dressing up and spinning their terrible record on the environment. Environment 2004 is a group of committed environmentalists who want to make sure that voters across the country, swing voters, know exactly what the Bush administration is doing in terms of clean air, clean water, how they are failing to enforce our environmental laws.
Environment 2004's mission? Educate voters on the facts and emphasize the critical importance of this presidential election.
Please visit our website, environment2004.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Looking to do something good? Well, there's lots teenagers can do, like saving the rare speckled Burmese bear cub.
Isn't he cute?
Okay, be careful, Susie. That's too cute. Don't feed him. Wow, that's gotta hurt.
Or how about just saving something closer to home, like your neighborhood? Tutor, mentor, volunteer. Help change your community and change the way the world sees you. Click on theprevent.org or call 1-800-722-TEENS.
A message from Corrupt U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
The old Franken factor.
This is so dishonest. It's a lie! We got to stop him.
Air America's Al Franken.
We got to stop him now. We got to stop him in April through May, June, July, August, September, October, and even in the first 2 days of November. They're going to do this, and we're going to stop them every which way they go.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer. Weekdays, noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, we offer some help to President Bush in today's Recovery Corner, plus the plan to keep you from seeing Michael Moore's new movie. That's all coming up right now. I'm here and joined by and with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Wednesday morning.
Hey.
Hello.
Hump
Good
day.
Morning.
Good morning. Here we are. You know, I get some, sometimes people criticize me, not criticize me, but like we make, like I just said something about Barbara Streisand. And I actually got an email once here where someone's like, hey, don't knock Barbara Streisand. She's the greatest thing for the Democratic Party. You know, if you knock Barbara Streisand, you're letting the Republicans win. Look, you know, do me a favor, man. Barbara Streisand has been almost unbearable for at least 20 years. And, you know, and before that, arguably. You know, I just don't come from that. Number one, I'm not 90. And number two, I'm not gay. So the Barbara Streisand thing is sort of lost on me. And it's not out of disrespect for whatever she does, you know, politically to raise money and raise awareness of issues. Just as an entertainer, I never really resonated with her. Now, Barbara Streisand, you know, has this is the big ticket. For I guess it's for a Carrie fundraiser in Hollywood. It's Barbara Streisand, Billy Crystal, and Neil Diamond, and they're billing it as Old Jew Fest. It's Old Jewapalooza. I mean, come on, could you imagine an evening of that? Look, you know, it's like Neil Diamond, as Sue said earlier. You know, he wrote some great songs. He was a great entertainer.
Which
you
one?
Know, right, he wrote, Does She Love Me? Yes, yes, she does. Sweet Caroline, Kentucky Woman. I'm a believer.
The Diamond one.
I'm a Believer by, I'm a Believer, I couldn't leave her if I tried.
He
it's
wrote
a,
that?
Yeah, it's a Monkey song that he wrote. And I think he, did he write Daydream Believer? I don't think so. I think he wrote I'm a Believer. But I got no beef with Neil Diamond. Or, well, Billy Crystal, that's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
But just at this point, that show, I couldn't imagine a more horrifying evening of entertainment in my life.
I don't know that I would be rushing out to buy tickets.
Yeah, I hope they raise some money, but they're not going to get it from my generation, that's for sure. Maybe they should try and pick somebody maybe 30 years younger than one of those people to perform, maybe?
Well, that's okay. They get it from the kind of old rich guys who have been generating money for
forever,
decades.
Right, as opposed to us who like,
we're
can barely
waiting.
Generating money for ourselves, you know?
Well, maybe we could get P. Diddy to do scenes from Raisin in the Sun.
Well, that'd be nice.
A younger, more upscale, kind of trendy audience.
Did they try to do that? Didn't Kerry? Wasn't there some sort of Outcast debacle with the Kerry campaign?
Was that Kerry or was that the Democrats? The fundraiser.
Was it just the DNC?
It might have been a DNC fundraiser.
But I mean, how
Kerry was at it? It was that night when Carter and Kerry and all the Democrats got together about a month or so ago.
I just think that what is the reach out with the younger people? When is that?
You don't have enough money, Dean. Why would you want to have Britney Spears fronting your Democratic fundraiser?
Britney Spears.
That's what I mean. It wouldn't appeal to people who could write the multi zeros at the end checks.
Right. Britney Spears.
Moby. How about Moby?
Moby'd be all right, but he's a little ethereal. I mean, and a little esoteric. I go with, how about the Smashing Pumpkins? The Smashing Pumpkins would be good. 50 Cent would be interesting. He'd be good.
Yeah, let me show you my scars.
Yeah. What was the big hit? What was the big one?
In the Club.
Yeah.
Anyway, is the abuse of prisoners in Iraq, making a really smooth transition here, more widespread than first thought, or just the isolated actions of a few bad soldiers? That depends on who you talk to. On the one hand, there are reports that 25 Iraqi prisoners have died while in U.S. custody, both in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Two were actually murdered, one by a soldier, one by a civilian contractor. On the other hand, the Bush administration sings a different tune. Here's our president on the issue just this past Friday.
I didn't like it one bit. But I also want to remind people that those few people who did that do not reflect the nature of the men and women we sent overseas.
Now, Secretary of State Colin Powell backs this up. He says he thinks only a small number of U.S. soldiers were abusive, and he says the world will be able to observe them being brought to justice.
What happened in this particular instance, as best I know from the pictures, was just totally despicable. There's no way to describe it. And it isn't just the fact that soldiers did it, but no American should do this to any other person.
Looks like the Iraqis agree with him. There are about 2,000 demonstrated in front of the Abu Ghraib prison today. With the time differences, it was sometime very early this morning here in the East. And it was to protest U.S. treatment of prisoners. And the protesters, and I'm not sure exactly what they mean by this, free women or we will launch jihad.
I think the problem is that inside the jails, there are different categories of prisoners. Mm-hmm. And that one of the grievances the Iraqi people have is there are many, about half the prison population there is just kind of common criminals.
Okay.
And that they want, and I think there may be women prisoners too, and they're furious that there are so many prisoners being held, that they've been held for so long, not on terrorism charges, but just, petty thieves, basically.
Yeah. So they said free women or else we jihad?
We will launch jihad. They're not what you're thinking. Not that kind of thing.
I don't know if I was thinking the same thing, but I'll go with you on it. But
I bet you were.
But the thing is that really stuns me and horrifies me is when Americans say that, Saddam tortured people. Like, that's our barometer. That should never be our barometer for judging ourselves. We're supposed to be an example to the world in terms of, human treatment and human, and proper, what's the word I'm looking for?
Human rights. Beacon of light. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that
really is
democracy.
Supposed to, America is supposed to stand for social justice and on some level, and that's some of the principles that our democracy is built on. And when people start lowering their standards to judge us against, heinous tyranny and the treatment of people in those situations, it's really sort of sad, isn't it?
But that's true. But the problem with this very war is that it's not a conventional war and that standards have been lowered. I mean, the ones at the time that the United States and its coalition members want to stand for democracy and freedom and liberating Iraq, there has been a slippage that we all know about in how detainees are treated, whether they're on U.S. soil or on foreign soil, and it's become a very gray area. And it's always been the case that there's been some level of, if you will want to term it, abuse when dealing with prisoners to try and extract information. And what's happened, particularly over the last few days since the CBS photographs first came to light and the New Yorker piece, and now we know because of the investigations that this kind of abuse was far more systemic than originally it appeared, that the public has been made aware of abuse slipping over into torture and some of the practices that have been allowed to get by and at some level have been officially condoned, and we have to find out at what level? And that's shocking for American people.
Well, it's shocking for anybody, and it's now at the point where they're not going to be able. They got this report 2 months ago, right, Mark?
Yeah, it's a Goober report.
2 months ago.
It was done in March.
And what, Rumsfeld didn't read it? You know, Bush didn't read it? What's with the problem?
Myers, the chair of the Joint Chiefs, hadn't read it.
That's such BS. I mean, how could they not read it? It's like the PDB thing. It's like either it's not read or it's misinterpreted or it's not considered important. Clearly, they let this happen. And also, there's no indication that torture does anything. That's the scariest thing about it, is some of this was just done for the sake of doing it. And even here it says Army Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez issued a memo late last year banning harsh interviewing tactics such as Mutt and Jeff approaches or any pride and ego down approaches. Now, Mutt and Jeff is the good cop, bad cop thing, and ego down involves deflating a defiant detainee whose pride is his armor against questioning.
Now, I don't understand something. The Mutt and Jeff thing is usually used by law enforcement to get confessions out of people. Now, if they're trying to get intelligence, I would assume that might not be exactly the same as getting somebody to admit they did something. They're trying to get people to talk about other things that they know are going on. So why use that law enforcement technique to get a completely different result?
But it's like, apparently, though, any torture, if you torture someone long enough, they will tell you whatever you want them to tell you.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And it has no bearing on truth or anything, you know? It's just like the humiliation thing is
Well, it just reveals that there's a problem, that there isn't a law that is keeping watch over how detainees are handled.
Or guiding those people that do it.
That there needs to be, that you made the point earlier that America should be above everybody else. I mean, this country does represent to the world, even now, despite these terrible examples of torture and abuse over the last week, still represents the sort of height of idealistic democracy.
Yeah, and how long can he blame contractors? I mean, it's like they keep trying to brush this off. I mean, clearly the military intelligence people were in on it, and they were, subcontracting to contractors who live in this sort of, moral free zone where they can do anything. I cannot believe that was not intentional. I cannot believe on some level that in their desire to privatize the war effort to cheapen costs, that they also realize that if you use these guys, they don't have to answer to international law. Why else would they have been in the prison? Why else would they be put in these situations?
Well, Paul Krugman, who we've spoken to here on Morning Sedition, did a piece in the New York Times about the whole notion that the Bush administration has as its end game in Iraq, really having an unfettered, free market, flat tax, privatized kind of country. Where people can essentially, American capitalism taken to its logical conclusion from their standpoint.
So it's a big experiment. They're just trying to, this is a big free market experiment to see if they can just create a little America.
A little American free
subdivision,
market.
Free market subdivision.
And then if it works in Iraq, you start spreading it to other countries. And next thing you've got Starbucks, in Tehran and everywhere else.
Still ahead, Dream Diary. And later, will Michael Moore's new film be able to come out before the election, right here on Air America Radio.
Planet check. Nationally, we're probably exporting about $100 billion a year to other parts of the world to pay for the energy that we import.
That's Jim Bell, ecological designer from San Diego, California.
And this is a huge cash drain on our whole economy.
The solution? Renewable energy.
I found with my research here in San Diego that covering only 20% of what's already been urbanized, parking lots and rooftops with solar panels, would make us completely energy self-sufficient.
Let the sun shine in.
Pretty much every place in the United States has enough sunlight to make solar development viable, like solar panels. We're just floating in energy.
Jim Bell is the author of the book Long Range Planning, Creating a Sustainable Economy and Future in the San Diego Tijuana Region, a case study. To learn more online,
jimbell.com.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Stewart. I'm calling about your gas bill.
Yeah, I know. I'm late.
Mrs. Stewart, we need to receive some money in the next week.
I understand. I do. I'm working two jobs and doing everything I can.
Yeah, let's have a glass of water, Mommy.
Oh, I'll be there in a minute, Lisa.
Mrs. Stewart?
I'm really trying here. It's just that things are a little difficult right now.
Mommy, the water got on my picture.
Okay, honey, okay.
Do you have our address, Mrs. Stewart?
Yes, I do.
Heat or food? 1 in 5 American children faces hunger because of decisions like this. To help, call 1-800-FEED-KIDS or visit feedingchildrenbetter.org. Hunger, a choice no one should have to make. A public service message brought to you by America's Second Harvest, Feeding Children Better, and the Ad Council.
Yes, it should, bud. Oh, there's the bell.
Oh, wildfire just charged out of that corner like a wildfire.
Yeah, but it can't seem to get anywhere near house.
That's because house is landscaped with water-retaining plants, which help keep wildfire at a safe distance.
And, bud, check out how wildfire's punches seem to roll off that treated shingle roof.
Holy smokes, Lou. Wildfire is wearing out like a cheap suit. Oh, wildfire is down.
Down and out.
Can your house win a fight with wildfire? Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. That's firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Good morning. Wednesday morning. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. The Pixies are playing in my head. The Pixies reunited, I guess, a couple of days ago, and I heard it was awesome. Great band. Why don't they play at the Carrie fundraiser? I'd like it, I'd like Barbara to open for the Pixies. That would be a show. That would be hilarious.
The Pixies, like, the Eels, and Fatboy Slim.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be, I'd like to see Barbara sit in on a Pixies tune. Wouldn't that be weird? All right. So it's time for the Dream Diary. As some of you know out there, you know, my therapist told me to write down my dreams and then bring them into him. But I'm bringing them into you first. I go to him tomorrow. I'm going to you today. Let's see if I can make out my waking consciousness scribble for last night's dream. Okay, so, oh, I remember. It's World War II, and I'm a fighter pilot. I got on a leather jacket, a leather helmet. I'm chomping the butt of a cigar. Guys in my outfit call me Brooklyn. As in, hey, Brooklyn, get a load of my Rita Hayworth poster. Or, hey, Brooklyn, drop one on Hitler for me, will ya? Or, hey, Brooklyn, this lump on my inner thigh, does it look infected to you? So I'm checking my gauges in the cockpit of my B-29 fighter plane when this guy gets in beside me. It's George W. Bush. And he's got on that flight suit. He's got chewing gum. You know, he's smirking. Someone's playing Chattanooga Choo Choo. Hiya, Brooklyn, he says to me. I look at him and I say, no one ever calls me that. I hate nicknames. And George Bush goes, suit yourself, Brooklyn. And he says, and he starts turning all my gauges 180 degrees from where I set them. And I look outside the window and there's a painting of Barbara Bush in a two-piece swimsuit on the nose of the plane. The current Barbara Bush. That's when I know him.
No, boom. I was just thinking. The gray-haired one? No.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Yes, the current Barbara Bush. And that's when I know that I'm in trouble. I'm doomed. Suddenly we're in the sky high over Germany. Blam, blam, we get hit with machine gun fire, and I hear the engine start to sputter. Flames everywhere. Falling, falling. I scream at Bush, you did this, didn't you? He says, the Texas Air National Guard never taught me to land, Brooklyn. The exit strategy's all up to you. I'm screaming, he's smacking his gum at me and humming old Yale songs. And just at the weird moment of, like, right when I'm about to die, Rita Hayworth flew up beside the plane, winked at me and said, hey, Brooklyn, get on. The rest of the dream got really dirty. And I woke up and the bed was filled with Duke Ellington 78s. What is that about?
I don't know. Sounds like you broke the B-29, you own it.
I bet you're your therapist's favorite session of the week, though.
Yeah, he loves it. Very entertaining. So this is the story I'm a little interested in about this kid in Pleasantville. It's in Pleasantville, New York. Apparently, he played.
No, New Jersey.
Pleasantville, New Jersey. His coach had a little award ceremony. Was it a football team?
No, basketball.
Basketball team. And how this kid is a 13-year-old kid. Am I getting all the facts wrong? Yeah, 13-year-old boy's coach called him just before last month's team banquet and told him to make sure he attended this award ceremony because he was getting a special trophy. That's what the kid's father said. So they get to the awards banquet, Everybody gets trophies for their basketball performance, and then they bring this kid up, and they give him the crybaby award. The coach had an award made. What is the award? It was a
silver figure of a baby
on a pedestal, and they called it. The coach must have thought about this for weeks.
Yep.
The other teammates must have been in on it, and they bring the kid up. The kid's excited. He thinks he's getting a special award, and this kid apparently was a brainy kid. He was like, you know, a honor roll student, so I'm sure he was taking enough guff to begin with. And then the coach does this, and the audacity of a coach to do this in front of parents and everything. The only thing he could be thinking is like, this is gonna be funny. Not like, you know, we're going to, you know, destroy this kid's self-esteem for a while, but let me tell you something. This kid's coming back at you. You just created another Paul Wolfowitz, or maybe another Bill Gates, or maybe, you know, you guys are going to pay.
Another Bin Laden.
You're right.
Hopefully not a Bin Laden, but I think that the coaches and most jocks are short-sighted when they do this kind of stuff, when they bully people, because the kid who's going to have the last word is the kid who says, you know what, I'll show them.
You know the worst
thing? I will show them. I will get smart, and I will rule the planet, and I will make them pay.
They spelled the poor kid's
name wrong.
Yeah. On the trophy.
On the trophy, yes.
At least he can say it wasn't for him.
But you know, like he was going to bring this home and put it on his shelf.
But you know what this
I mean?
This is that whole Vince Lombardi, rah, 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 you know, you can't win without being harangued kind of mentality. A lot of coaches in athletics get, you know, they get this whole thing that, like, they got to treat people like dogs in order to get them to perform.
Well, let me tell you a little something about a young Mark Maron.
Uh-oh.
Let me tell you a little something about a Coach Layton at a certain Manzano Day School. Let me tell you a little something about a kid called, hey, Marshmallow. Marshmallow Maron. Come on, run, Marshmallow. Come on, run. Let me tell you about that. Well, ask me about the future of my sporting career.
Well, he didn't call you Mrs. Isn't
doesn't that matter. Marshmallow Maron. Marshmallow Maron. What is that?
It's a part of the regular humiliation of children growing up. We had a needlework teacher at school. Not our PE teachers were fine.
A needlework teacher?
Yes.
What is that?
It's a lame thing that if you go to an all-girls school...
That's not a sport.
You have to do compulsory needlework.
Well, then that's enough of humiliation right there. You're going to tell me that someone rode your ass in needlework class?
Even worse, she called us, you dirty little grubs.
Dirty little grub.
Yeah, she hated us. She had a real chip on her shoulder.
Why? Well, one of you, like, doing a screw you sampler or something?
No, it was just, you know, it's just about humiliating kids. It's a power thing by teachers and by coaches. And it probably happens more in sports because people have this loony idea that if you humiliate people, that you'll get a better performance out of them.
Let me tell you a little something about a fat little Mark Maron out in center field during Pee Wee baseball.
Hey, let me tell you about my cross stitch.
Well, something about a little fat kid who was put in center field because the coach didn't think that people could hit it out that far. Well, they did. All right, they hit one out to me. I'm backing it up. I got it lined up in my mitt. I say, I got it. I trip over a sprinkler. Ball hits me in the face in center field. All right, breaks my nose. The coach is getting, get up. Get up, Marshmallow. Play it. Get it in play. I'm crying. All right, little fat Mark is crying in his husky pants.
Uh-oh.
My mom picks me up, takes me to the hospital, and then says, what do you want, Mark? And I go, well, I don't know. Can we go to Dairy Queen? Yeah, we'll go to Dairy Queen and get whatever you want. And I go, well, I'm going to have a banana split. So I sit down with my emaciated mother, my vain emaciated mother, who looks at me about to dig into my banana split with my bandaged nose and says, you know, you don't have to eat the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
All right, so needless to say, I'm not geared towards sports.
But, you know, this kind of abuse doesn't, it's, as Sue points out, it can happen in almost any situation. I've seen stuff.
So how'd you do at the needlepoint competition, Sue?
Let me just say that it obviously had some...
so you didn't make it to the World Series of needlepoint?
Let me tell you something. I went through a situation. I didn't actually... I saw
this
situation.
A bit I should get to answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll let you know next week about that. When you guys are finished, maybe I'll fill you
in. Go ahead.
I can't even remember now. You're so confusing me. But my favorite needlework story, she's so intimidated. One poor little mousy girl called Carolyn Rouse, who was the brainiest girl in the whole year, but absolutely nerdy. She scared the daylight of her so much that Carolyn one time was putting on sleeves on her shirt, and she went inside the dressing room and you hear this little voice go, oh, and she came out and she'd stitched straight down the side of the shirt, so when she had to try the shirt on in front of the class, she couldn't get her arms through.
Oh, a needlepoint tragedy.
Hey, we're all affected. I carried it with me the rest of my life.
Coming up, Recovery Corner, you on the telephones, and can Mickey Mouse shut Michael Moore's mouth? Don't go away. This is Air America Radio.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of...
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. A Canadian newspaper has revealed that the chief of the U.S. Selective Service System has proposed an expanded military draft. The Bush administration is coming under fire for allegedly politicizing sensitive national security information, according to the Boston Globe. Critics contend that many recent document declassifications were timed for strategic advantage. The United States, in a show of protest, walked out of the United Nations meeting yesterday, just minutes before the world body gave the African nation of Sudan a third term on the Human Rights Commission. That commission is the UN's human rights watchdog. The U.S. ambassador to the UN called the vote an absurdity and accused Sudan of massive human rights violations and ethnic cleansing. And the Federal Reserve held a main short-term interest rate at a 46-year low, that is. This in an attempt to keep the economy moving. Fed Chair Alan Greenspan and his Federal Open Market Committee left the federal funds rate unchanged at 1%.
This is the sound of grubs eating machines destroying your lawn. They eat and eat and eat. End the destruction all season with Bayer Advanced season-long grub control with Merit. One application protects your yard in two ways, killing more grubs than any other product, plus providing season-long protection against future grub problems. Guaranteed. No wonder Merit from Bayer is the number one choice of professionals. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Today at 5 o'clock on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Struggling to have a baby? Well, Eyewitness News anchor Diana Williams has great news for you. A new way to boost your chances of getting pregnant without shots or pills. Plus, at 6 o'clock on Eyewitness News, you won't believe where they're dumping trash. The Eyewitness News investigators catches up red-handed. It all starts with Diana Williams, Sade Veteranois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5 o'clock, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah. It made headlines around the world for 15 years on a quiet suburban street right here in America.
I was naked. My ankle was chained to a steel grate.
This millionaire hid a dungeon in terror.
He raped me every day.
So you went to the police and you were not believed. Abducted and held captive. Their chilling story.
It was just unspeakable.
It was like hell. Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7.
Laura Flanders.
Let's transition and let's talk about another historical parallel to the situation we find ourselves in today. One of the things left for us to discuss here today is the parallels that many people are drawing to the situation in Vietnam. Is it a legitimate parallel? Does it work? Does it make sense?
Laura Flanders, Saturday night from 7 to 10 on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Good morning, Wednesday morning. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I know I'm going to pick up a little flack for the Streisand comments later, I think. People are funny. You know, some of our listeners are like, hey, you can't just go from this to comedy. You can't just go from, you know, horror to comedy. Yeah, we can. That's sort of what we're trying to do a little bit. I mean, it's not planned that way, and sometimes it's not smooth, but you can't cover everything as exclusively and intimately and as focused as everybody wants, and there's got to be a little room for the funny here and there. Talk about this is pretty heavy. Michael Moore's new film, Fahrenheit 9/11, is not going to be released in America by the parent company Disney. It's a Miramax film. Miramax Films is owned by Disney, and there was all of a sudden Disney is pulling out on the distribution deal in America of this very controversial film that talks about and covers, you know, the Bush family connection to the Bin Laden family, the Saudi Bush connection, and it asks questions like, you know, why in the first days of 9/11, around 24 American-based members of the Bin Laden family were allowed to leave the U.S. with the approval of the FBI and the help of the Saudi government, and all types of connections between the Saudis. And now some of the thoughts around, you know, from the Michael Moore camp around why Disney might not be distributing the film is that because Disney has interests, obviously, in Orlando, Florida, mm-hmm. with Disney World, and that those interests are given some leniency or some tax breaks by a certain state governor.
It's about money?
About Jeb Bush. The implication is that politics obviously works like that on some level, but the thought that if Disney released this film, that there would be repercussions on that level, you know, from a governor, from Jeb Bush, that he would say, well, all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to reexamine these books then. You know, is really backroom politics like that's coercive? It's almost like mafia tactics. Does it really still work like that? Is Michael Moore, you know, being reasonable in his fears?
Well, what's interesting is that they said that that Disney is arguing that it's all about politics. Aren't they saying that they believe Moore's film, which doesn't have a release date, could alienate many people and that they cater to families of all political stripes?
Well, he says that it's not partisan, that, you know, if we're going to send Americans of all, you know, race and color and financial background to die in Iraq, that the information in this movie is a necessary thing for our democracy to actually, you know, be free. This is, like, informational.
Certainly, but don't these situations always backfire? That now this is great publicity for Michael Moore. Everybody who maybe hadn't heard that this film was coming out and is interested in it will find a way to get hold of it. I mean, they will. I can't imagine that Miramax won't find some smart way to release this movie and bypass Disney. Or,
well,
you know, Michael Moore will.
They'll get another distributor. The problem is that they're going to have to share profits with another distributor, where the deal that they had with Disney would have kept most of the profits with Miramax.
You know, Weinstein.
Release it at 5 cents or something, so that, you know, Disney gets 2.5 cents.
Well, I think if Weinstein, he's certainly got enough money, and Miramax is certainly, you know, popular enough that, you know, if he wants to fight this fight, because he's a Democrat and he's a guy that gives to the Democrats, and, like, if he really wants to get involved with this could really turn into something.
Yeah, but you know who he's fighting here?
Who?
The Disney spokesperson is quoted in this piece is a woman named Xenia Muchin. Yeah. Any of you who are listening in New York might be familiar with, because she used to be the chief spokesperson for, ka-ching, Republican Governor George Pataki.
Uh-huh.
Before she came out, she left government service and went to work for Disney.
But went into real entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
But what baffles me, and it doesn't baffle me, but it disturbs me, is that, you know, I suspect everything. I suspect conspiracies everywhere. I suspect that people are more devious than they might be, because I look at history, like, in that way. But, like, that Jeb Bush, you know, could possibly run his government. Like, obviously, he helped throw the election, clearly. He, you know, he's a very devious guy. They're destroying the wetlands down there, and he's saying they're not, in the Everglades. That, you know, Disney would be that afraid of that governor. It shows that he's completely coercive, and he's a bad guy.
But let's try a different conspiracy.
Obviously.
Let's try the conspiracy that Michael Moore orchestrated this entire thing because he knew that it would create all of this buzz for the film, and he'd make a whole bunch of money.
You're saying that the Mel Gibson publicity model?
Yeah, exactly.
How about the stupidity factor that anybody who buys a Michael Moore film could possibly think that it wouldn't be political and controversial? Of course, that's how he's. That's why he's so successful.
Well, no, but
he
I think
such
Weinstein.
A great job at that.
I think they knew that, you know, and I think Weinstein is. I think this is surprising on all levels. I mean, I don't think that Michael Moore would do that. I don't believe that he would. I think that this is really coming down from the, you know, the top notch. The top brass at Disney, because I don't know if it's a speculation, that the Jeb Bush connection, but it seems like if that's really an issue, that Jeb Bush should, you know, he should be taking the task anyways, you know? That guy's, they're all so dirty.
But everybody, Disney knows that not a single American will not go to any of their films because of this. They know that they're on stage. Nobody's going to organize a boycott against Disney.
Well, they worked at, that happened with that movie Priest. You remember? Wasn't that a Disney that was supposed to be released? That movie,
I don't know.
Miramax, that was a Miramax film as well. And, but I guess, I'd imagine that most people don't connect Disney and Miramax, and I don't think they've stopped Miramax before from distributing things, except there was an issue with that movie Priest, which is about a homosexual priest.
But here's what we hope that most people will know as a result of this controversy, is that the film explores the Bush administration's role in evacuating all those relatives of Osama bin Laden.
And I said that
right
at the top.
After, yeah, but, and also that the troops in Iraq are increasingly disillusioned with the war.
Yeah.
So, you know, something good could come out of this.
Well, that's his whole point, is that this is not a partisan thing. It's information that the American public deserves to have in relation to the administration that is, you know, in control.
Let's hope that Disney doesn't have any long-term fallout in terms of their relationship with Miramax, because they already took a lot of flack when Pixar stepped out on them.
Right, so why don't you call us at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270, or email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. And, you know, who do you think, what do you think the Bushes are afraid of? And, you know, who is really at fault for this? You know, who's to blame, Disney or the Bushes? Call us on Air America Radio.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker and how my friend survived. He was hit in the head by a stroke and left unable to speak. He couldn't believe it was actually happening and didn't know what to do, so he didn't get help right away. And it only got worse. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone realized what was going on and called 911. If they hadn't, my friend wouldn't be here now. If you're attacked by a stroke, call 911 immediately. The sooner you react, the better your chance of survival. I'm glad that he lived, but we're still praying and working on his recovery. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, get emergency medical help right away. Don't try to deny it's an attack by a stroke. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor.
Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Planet change. I think the biggest threat to the environment is the idea that now, and when I mean now, this moment in time is all there is.
That's singer, songwriter, and activist Michael Franti from the band Spearhead.
The caretakers of this continent before Europeans came here had a very clear vision. They said, we are here to take care of this land for the seven generations of people before us.
Part of the solution, or are we part of the pollution?
And I think there has to be an accountability and a mindset that every person in this planet has, that each of us is responsible for what we produce and what we put out into the world.
Franti says there has to be a shift in our thinking.
And that shift has to be that we have to think about the seven generations to come.
That's Michael Franti on Planet Check.
Planet Check, your daily one-minute terrestrial examination. Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Hey, this is Darius Rucker and the boys from Hootie and the Blowfish. We have an important message for you. If you're an adult, 21 or over, it's fine to have a drink while you're enjoying an evening with good friends. What's not right is overdoing it. When you drink too much, you're probably not quite as much fun as you think.
Yeah, if you do drink, please do it responsibly. If you go out with a group and there's going to be drinking, have a designated driver. Don't you think, Dino?
Mark is right.
The good news is that the most recent statistics show that underage drinking is declining. They also show the lowest levels of traffic deaths involving alcohol since they started keeping track.
But we can all do more, Dean. It's Sony, asking you to remember that we all need to do our part by drinking responsibly and keep things going in the right direction.
This message is brought to you by the members of the National Beer Wholesalers Association, committed to encouraging responsible consumption of its products.
Morning, Wednesday. Mark Maron here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. You can email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. Right now, I just got the presidential daily briefing that we have a connection with in the White House. It's the PDB, the highly classified, top secret dispatch given to the president on a day-to-day basis that he rarely reads, or at least reads deeply. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that rogue provocateur Michael Moore is planning the massive release of a new film about your role in the 2001 terrorist attacks. The film, titled Fahrenheit 9/11, is specifically timed to inflict maximum damage on your re-election campaign. Moore has used films of mass destruction before and has displayed a casual disregard for the careers of your campaign contributors. He has ignored all rules of civilized warfare, even exceeding the 30-second limit on Oscar speeches. Moore's influence continues to grow, and intelligence suggests he may have links to the Robin Sarandon cell and the shadowy Franken Garofalo organization.
Uh-oh.
If released into the general public, this film could cause thousands of dangerous discussions afterwards over cappuccino and biscotti. We suggest crippling his delivery systems by threatening the Disney Miramax empire by any means necessary. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
I got a question.
Yeah.
This is a documentary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, most Americans don't go near documentaries. Bowling for Columbine, which I didn't see but was apparently a fine documentary, grossed $22 million. Denzel Washington's last movie grossed $23 million the first weekend. What is Disney afraid of?
Right.
They're is it like, do they think that they're like...
No, but Bowling for Columbine made a lot of money.
It made $22 million.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but again, Line of Fire made $23 million in the first weekend. People don't go to see documentaries. $22 million is great for a doc.
Right.
Yeah, for a documentary.
Right.
But how many people does Disney actually think will end up going to see this film? This is not going to make $100 million.
So it's clearly political, and that's what we're asking the callers to comment on. You know, is it Bush's, Disney? Who's to blame in this? Give us your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We're going to Glenn in Long Island. Glenn.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Well, I read a book years ago that explained the whole arrangement with Disney and the state of Florida, and the Disney property itself exists almost as an independent state.
Huh.
Where the zoning laws, the tax laws, and even the criminal laws, in other words, local law enforcement, will come onto the Disney property only by invitation.
Mm. So they got Disney cops?
This is an arrangement that could never be recreated, and they don't want any chance of screwing it up.
So you're saying that it is definitely connected to Disney's decision in the Michael Moore film?
I would think so, because if you can track this book, I don't even recall the name of the book. It explains the arrangement they have, and it's hard to believe that it's allowed to. It's like the Vatican.
Right.
In Italy, Disney exists in Florida almost as an independent state. It's unbelievable the arrangement they have.
It's the American Vatican of marketing. Ralph in Florida. This should give us some insight, Ralph.
Hello.
What's up, buddy?
I worked for Disney 14 years. It used to be their mission statement was profit at any state, at any rate, in any way.
Yeah.
And that's why Gay Days at Orlando survived, because it's very, very profitable, even though the right-wing church people pump their Bibles.
Right.
But now that Disney is in with ABC, the Bush family has such a record of vengeance, Disney will not cross that and cross Jeff. ABC on Sirius carries a stupid Sean Hannity.
Right.
So So you can see where ABC is going now. And for Disney to say that they don't want to offend somebody, why would they stick with Sean Hannity, who just hammers one side?
So you're saying it is explicitly political?
Sure, it's got to be, because otherwise they can't take the middle road on this unless they dump Sean also.
Right. Thanks a lot for your call.
Interesting.
Mark in Florida as well.
Yeah, the two previous callers beat me to it. By the way, thank you for being on Sirius. I'm glued to the set. Right. But, yes, Disney enjoys some tremendous tax advantages, legal advantages, and they wouldn't want to jeopardize that by releasing this Michael Moore film.
And I guess we know that Jeb isn't beyond, the Bush family isn't beyond sort of, you know, exploiting in political connections and being coercive if they need to protect themselves.
That's an understatement.
Thanks a lot for your call, Mark. Adam in Manhattan. Adam.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good, man.
You guys, thank you for being there.
Sure.
You make me feel like I'm sane.
Oh, good.
Is everybody aware of the fact that Jeb Bush is multilingual? He does speeches in Spanish and English.
He's married to a Latina, isn't he?
Yeah.
Who did he marry?
I thought he was married to a Latina.
Careful now. You see, he's married to a Mexican woman, and a lot of Latinos, like Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, do not want to be associated with Mexicans as Latinos. So how are we going to call her? She's a Mexican, not a Latino.
Right.
Okay,
so what's the point, Adam?
The point is that Jeb Bush's influence over that whole Hispanic community down there is very real. And if unless you speak that language, you have no influence over them.
Well, that's okay. I'm not sure how it relates to our topic,
you mean Mexican?
You mean they're absolutely out of control unless you speak Spanish? That sounds.
Gee, I never knew that Mexicans.
And we make him sane.
Yeah, thanks for your
what
call.
Was he like before we spoke to him?
Oh boy.
Woo.
Where was he going with that?
I don't think we'll go there, Adam.
My man, Adam.
The nations are restless.
Yeah, that was interesting. All right, so we'll be back with Recovery Corner, and maybe William will call us from Chappaqua.
Ooh.
Here on Air America Radio.
There was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once. Planet check.
You know, Office Depot likes to do everything by the book. The Green Book, that is. Director of Environmental Affairs Tyler Elm explains.
The Green Book is the industry's first catalog consisting solely of environmentally preferable products printed on elemental chlorine-free, 100% post-consumer waste recycled paper. Paper that is 44% more energy efficient and requires no new trees to be cut down.
The new Green Book contains over 1,000 products made from in part or entirely recycled content.
We are committed to environmental stewardship and the conservation of our natural resources.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check, your daily one-minute terrestrial examination.
Planet Check is possible thanks to tadmail.com, where environmentally conscious Americans get their internet access for free. Tadmail.com, helping people and the planet.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
As a child, she's kidnapped by another tribe. Later, she's won in a game by a traitor. She's just 14 when, in the brutal winter of 1804, she has a son. A son she'll carry some 7,000 miles on a journey no man has ever made, with Lewis, Clark, and the Corps of Discovery. This alone is enough to make Sacagawea a hero. But there's more. She pulls her weight. She shares her knowledge. She speaks her mind. Sacagawea is known for her role as a cultural translator, but she was much more, because as William Clark noted, a woman and a mother with a party of men is a symbol of peace. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, Wednesday morning. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on the Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. It's been a good morning.
Aw, yeah.
Nice pace. If you're just joining us, we hope it continues. I feel that it will. Hi, my name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Yes, it's Recovery Corner time, and I reach out now to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering my direct advice to my sponsee, George W. I've been tough on you lately, but today, George, prays. The carrot, not the stick. I heard you're going to give some interviews to Arab TV stations to try and quiet things down after all the torture news coming out of Iraq. All right, granted, they're American-controlled Arab TV stations, but still, you're reaching out. And reaching out is good, all right? Helping other people gets you out of you, and that's good. Let the Arab people know it was never supposed to be about torture and humiliation. It was always about oil and lucrative reconstruction deals for Halliburton. There's a big difference there. Big difference. But addiction is a terrible thing. And if you don't deal with your issues, one day you turn around and you realize you've been making pyramids out of naked hooded prisoners. Whoa, time out. Change needs to start with you, George W. And now you're taking an important step. It's always good to make an amends, all right? Especially to groups who hate you enough to put explosives inside dead dogs on the highway. So do make that amends. I know that you have a strict, you know, no apology policy, but I think you might want to make an amends. And keep it up, buddy. Remember, anger is just one letter away from danger. It works if you work it, so work it. You're worth it. Live it. Keep the plug in the jug. God doesn't wake up and think he's you. Think. First things first. Do the next right thing. One day at a time. There you go. Recovery Corner. Now, you guys...
You just hit a look-away basket.
Did I?
Yes, you did. You made it. Off the bat.
We throw our pages of things here into the garbage, and it's a very fun thing we do here in the studio. Sue actually made a couple today. Sue, are you actually flipping me off?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Like, she was doing the sort of the weird nose rub thing with the finger, and it was the middle one. And I, Lord knows I deserve it. I certainly deserve... Oh, wait, you guys.
You
guess
so don't understand me. I don't do that kind of thing.
We got a call, but I want to explain this. You know, Bill Clinton has been working on his memoirs, and apparently, according to Daily News, he's been staying up all night trying to finish his book. He's been calling people, you know, all night long, and I guess it's our turn. We got William in Chappaqua. William, how are you, President?
Good morning. I'm a little tired.
Yeah. Well, you've been working hard, right?
I have been. I used to pull all-nighters all the time. I'm just used to having a little more company when I did it.
Oh, wait. Looks like we got your other half here. Bill in Harlem. Bill, what's going on with you?
Hey, buddy.
I'm
trying to get some work done here. How's it feel to be on my hours, my man? Bring back memories, not all of them bad. Oh, I got some. You got to start making some new ones, buddy.
So what have you guys been working on?
Well, you're just a workaholic over there. I'm working on the same old. You're working on the memoirs. I prefer to live in the present, you know what I mean? I'm reliving my policy victories, which is a lot of fun.
So what chapter are you working on?
Which chapter?
Yeah.
I'm stuck on that chapter I used to tell you guys about.
Oh, yeah, still, yeah.
I can't get past the line about Ashley wearing brief white panties. Don't work too hard over there, William. You know, Elvis needs playtime.
Well, you guys, are you guys ever together anymore?
I'm not allowed to see him so much anymore. He starts staying up all night. He's going to turn into me. He doesn't have a choice in this.
How's Hillary feel about the book?
Well, it depends which chapter she reads. She loves the idea that I'm spending all the time working. That's great. It works both ways.
Well, thanks for calling and checking in, Bill and William. Get it together. Thanks for being with us.
Bye now.
See you, Mark.
All right. The ex-president and his alter ego.
And his alter ego. It's working hard.
How does he do that? Does he have a phone on each ear? I don't understand how we get both of them.
I hope when he does his book tour, they appear together. That'll be a lot
more
fun.
That'll be very entertaining. Absolutely.
We need to have him up here when the book's published.
We should get him up here. We should get Carrie up here. We should get them all up here. I'm going to make some calls. We should have told him to come down. Next time, we're going to tell him to come down. What are they afraid of?
That's right. Get over here.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, why not? You know, I mean, was Michael Moore on here already? I think he was on here already.
You know, a lot of people go to the other shows because, you know, we're up early. We're doing the breakfast work.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people don't like to get up that early.
Well, they're going to have to splash some water on their faces and
to
get
come down.
The program.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Morning Sedition isn't done yet. We've got the presidential Palm Pilot. Plus, what are the laws of war? We'll talk to an expert. And on the eve of the World Day of Prayer, a very special morning devotional. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
I was driving to work when I realized I had on one black shoe and one brown shoe. But I kept on going anyway. I mean, I can't be worrying about fashion faux pas at a time like this. I'm trying to sell my house.
If you're looking to sell your house, let Coldwell Banker make it more relaxing. We don't just list your home. We develop a customized marketing plan to reach more buyers. Coldwell Banker. Visit ColdwellBanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated, except offices owned and operated by Energy Incorporated.
In this corner, weighing several tons, the challenger, your house. And in the red corner, weighing next to nothing, the undisputed champion of the world, Wildfire.
Think your house can win the fight? Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. Firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. An embarrassed President George W. Bush will be facing Arab television to underscore his feelings about the alleged abuse of Iraqi prisoners and those in Afghanistan. The scandal over prisoner abuse continues to grow, gaining national and international attention. It is the latest stain on the Bush White House, with political strategists wasting no time in countering the issue in this election year. Both Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and State Secretary Colin Powell have commented on the issue. Some Republican leaders continue to allow the Bush White House to twist in the wind, if you will, with its handling over the U.S. occupation of Iraq. Prisoner abuse issue is added fodder. Republican Arizona Senator John McCain, a Vietnam-era prisoner of war himself, is taking Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to task for keeping silent before a Senate committee appearance on the very day 60 Minutes 2 aired the story of prisoner abuse.
On the very day that this program was shown, Secretary Rumsfeld was over here briefing the Senate and made no mention of this situation whatsoever. I think that's an indication of the complete lack of communications between the Pentagon and the Congress, and we have been deprived of our oversight responsibilities.
Republican Senator John McCain, as he appeared on the Today Show this morning. The Toronto Star reports this morning that the chief of the U.S. Selective Service System had proposed an expanded military draft. That plan was submitted to the Pentagon by the agency's acting director, Louis Brodsky, just before the invasion of Iraq. A new poll says President Bush remains neck and neck with Democratic presidential rival John Kerry in a two-way race. This with Bush just one percentage point over Kerry. But if you throw in third-party candidate Ralph Nader, John Kerry loses, so reports Quinnipiac University in Connecticut. Both President Bush and John Kerry spent yesterday campaigning in key swing states. In Dayton, Ohio, President Bush assured people the economy is on the upswing despite the loss of 270,000 jobs in the state since he took office. Kerry was in New Mexico, accompanied by an elementary school teacher by Governor Bill Richardson, who has been mentioned as a possible running mate. Kerry said Bush's No Child Left Behind program for early childhood education will mean New Mexico will lose 70 million jobs. The senator pledged to reverse the trend he sees of placing increased demands on school districts without increasing their funds.
All over our nation, I am meeting teachers who are burdened, teachers reaching into their own pockets, paying money out of their own salaries in order to put materials in front of their kids at school. That's unacceptable when you're giving tax cuts to the wealthiest people in America.
Meanwhile, it turns out the Yes, America Can bus carrying Bush across the Midwest was made in Canada. A Bush campaign spokesman pointed out the engine and tires were made in America, but a Kerry counterpart said the problem isn't the bus he's riding on.
If you have diabetes, you already know you could develop kidney failure, lose a limb, or go blind. But did you know that 2 out of 3 people with diabetes actually die from heart disease or stroke? Lower your risk of heart disease and stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Ask your doctor to tell you more about the link between diabetes and heart disease, or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Listen, man. Adding fractions is no big deal.
No?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Laura Flanders.
I'll tell you, this is the very first year that I found myself watching the Kennel Club show. Not the Kettle Club show. That would be
different.
It would be similar, but they wouldn't work in the same way. I found it comforting for the first time in my life. I guess it was because it was, for once, a really kind of pleasant alternative to everything else that I watched.
Laura Flanders. Saturday night from 7 to 10 on Air America Radio.
Right now, it's 6 minutes past the hour. I'm Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. And this is Morning Sedition.
What do we got for Wednesday? We've got President Bush and the Liberal Army today. Plus, what was Pat Tillman's? Why was Pat Tillman's funeral censored? That's all coming up right now. As I said, it's Wednesday morning. I'm joined by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Morning Sedition, as you know, on Air America Radio. We were talking before, if you were just joining us, good morning. We're talking about Miramax's, you know, and Disney is trying to stop Michael Moore's new film, Fahrenheit 9/11. They're not going to distribute it in this country because of it. They're speculating. Michael Moore is speculating that there's the film itself covers the Bush-Saudi connection. It covers the bin Laden family members being sort of airlifted out of America shortly after 9/11 happened. It covers a lot of these sort of, you know, very dubious, you know, connections between the Bush family and the Saudis. And the Moore camp is sort of speculating that the reason Disney's not going to release the film is because Jeb Bush is in a position to levy harder taxes against Disney World. Basically, it's to protect business interests in Florida, and they're afraid that the Bush administration in the governor position might come down hard on them. But I think there's something else. I just had a researcher or our associate producer here, do a little research. I think there might be a Disney-Saudi connection. Clearly there is. Really? I have it right here on paper, yeah. Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal is ranked the fifth richest man by Forbes magazine in the world, net worth of nearly $18 billion. In the mid-90s, bin Talal chipped in somewhere between $300 and $500 million to keep Euro Disney afloat. In January 2004, he invested $50 million in Disney. Disney chief Michael Eisner says Al-Waleed has a pretty sophisticated understanding of capitalism. So I think Michael Moore is going to have to do a little postscript addendum, you know, after there's not only is there a Bush-Saudi connection, but now he's just you know, maybe it's in the movie. There is a Bush-Saudi-Disney connection. There's a triangle.
Do you think maybe he's got a $1.50 in Air America Radio?
Billion, I said billion.
No. Oh, do you think maybe he has $1.50 in Air America Radio?
I don't know.
I mean, given that any company, you know, the Saudi investment in American companies is so huge, maybe they have a little tiny something, a toe in us.
I'm sure. Well, you know, there's so much Saudi money. I'm going to check my wallet. My producer didn't say $18 million. $18 billion he's worth.
No, he said 18. You said 18 billion.
Yeah. Could it also be that with ABC and kind of network news? I mean, I haven't seen any advance copies of the film, although it was a big hit at the Cannes Film Festival last month. Could there be any kind of criticism of, you know, big corporations and not reporting stuff about the Bush Saudi family connection on network news owned by Disney?
I think that all those connections, you know, I think a lot of those connections exist, and it's just there's a certain understanding in the worlds of, you know, big money, and there is, I'm not a conspiratorial thinker in the terms that there is five guys that run the planet. You know, they do exist. I'll get their names in a minute, and we'll talk about it. So I think there's certain things are allowed to happen. You know, it's sort of like the other day when the Saudis blamed the Zionists for the attacks on Saturday against an oil refining? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think five people were killed.
That somebody has to call, because of the relationship between the Sauds, you know, Saudis and Bush, someone's got to call Bush and say, we're going to blame this on the Zionists. Are you okay with that? Yeah, I guess so, but let's not let it get out of hand. I mean, they've got to have that interaction in the name of money.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just speculating, given that, you know, Michael Moore's films have been kind of so tough on, you know, how public debate and, you know, American life is, you know, basically dictated or controlled by corporations.
I really think he should do a piece.
Maybe there is something in that.
He should add a little part. If they're not going to release it, he should do a little more of the film, maybe do another 15-minute piece on the Saudi-Disney connection.
An epilogue.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Saudis do have their money in an offer. They have their fingers in a lot of pies, let's put it that way.
They have all the money.
Well, be very clear about the fact that aside from the oil, that's part of the reason why the Americans are not real quick to mess with them.
Right.
That's why Prince Bandar has a free pass to Crawford. That's
right.
Why so many of these guys, Sue was recounting this awful story that happened to a friend of yours, a British national. You think the Saudis are getting deported back, the ones with money? You think they're getting deported back because some kid doesn't have a green card?
So that means at the core of everything, then, almost all of what's happening in the world is this, you know, a tremendous lie. Is that, you know, that we will respect, and not even we, but the administration that is in charge now will respect the Saudis on any level and protect them, you know, no matter what.
Let's talk about how the administration respects the American people.
Okay.
Because that's something that we ought to look at a little more closely after some statements that have been made recently by our defense secretary, Donald Rumsfeld. This, of course, is in connection with the scandal that is spreading around the treatment of Iraqi prisoners. In fact, the new head of the Iraqi prison system, the new U.S. military head of the Iraqi prison system, said he's going to be cutting the number of prisoners in the Abu Ghraib prison in half. Where he's sending the other half, nobody seems to know. But there are questions about exactly what constitutes torture, what constitutes abuse, what are American soldiers allowed to do. And that's what we really ought to be questioning when we hear our defense secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, say the following on the Today Show just this morning.
The fact of the matter is that from the very outset, the decision was made by the government of the United States that the people detained would not be treated in a manner that was correction. The decision was made that the Geneva Convention did not apply precisely, but that every individual would be treated as though the Geneva Convention did apply. And as a result, the provisions of the Geneva Convention were the basic rules under which all people were detained.
Now, if you're an American like me, you have to ask, what the hell did he just say?
I don't know. But
I think he basically said that, you know, not applying the Geneva Convention precisely is a bit like being a little bit pregnant.
I think you're right.
It's a complete fudge. It just points to the fact what we need with American forces in any forces actually in Iraq is some kind of presidential order or a law, some kind of congressional legislation that will actually define what is acceptable when you are holding prisoners.
And also, what is
they don't have that. It seems to be that the United States is operating outside of U.S. law, possibly outside of any international law, and that needs to be cleared up. And we should ask Peter McGuire when he's on later in the show,
Peter McGuire, international law expert.
Yeah.
Maybe he can fill us in because it's a very, very blurry area.
Especially with
that's
the contract.
That's exactly. They're outside of any kind of loophole, and that's what's incredibly confusing in this war is that it's not a normal war. It's a war against terrorism, and there seems to be a kind of slippage in the standards. What's okay and what's not when you're interrogating terrorists or suspected terrorists to try to get information?
Well, even what Rumsfeld says changes. In February 2002, the same Donald Rumsfeld we just heard say, well, it's not exactly applicable to the Geneva Convention, but we're treating people as if it were. This is what he said in February 2002, quote, "The set of facts that exists today with Al-Qaeda and the Taliban were not necessarily the set of facts that were considered when the Geneva Convention was fashioned." End quote. In other words, I guess he figured he was there when they fashioned the Geneva. I don't know where he gets this from, but he's saying essentially that the people who crafted the Geneva Convention could not have imagined an Al-Qaeda or imagine the Taliban, which is kind of insulting when you think about it.
Well, it's insane.
But it's true. It's true, and that's why we're at a very confusing point now, and that we, you know, there have to be kind of, you know, better safeguards and a kind of better understanding of what the limitations are on a president that has, you know, unleashed a preemptive war. It's not a normal situation.
Yeah, but torturing prisoners is a normal situation. I think it's gone on forever. I think it's always happened. I think part of what's going on is these guys got caught with
these
pictures.
But not to this degree. I mean, I think there's always been an acceptance that there can be sleep deprivation or there can be some kind of coercion.
That.
But this is just so far beyond that.
I don't believe that. I think they've killed people. I think that they've, you know, obviously they've killed people in this instance. I think as time goes on, it's going to be completely systemic. It's going to be completely accepted. I think they just got caught.
Well, wait a minute. See, what I don't understand about what he said is how do you say on the one hand that the Geneva Conventions could not have imagined Al-Qaeda or the Taliban? The Geneva Conventions certainly understood the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Where people were killed in huge, humongous numbers.
But that was in a war where the sort of like, it's like teams, almost like, that there was one country fighting against another country or a number of countries.
But shouldn't it just be specific to human rights, though? I mean, does that change the human rights issue?
This is a hard situation. When it is terrorists who are seen as the enemy, there isn't the sense of people playing by the same set of rules for which the Geneva Convention was supposed to apply, which is why we have to have some kind of presidential order or Congress should kind of step in and kind of make the situation clearer.
But treatment of people is treatment of people, no matter what the situation. Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot Plus. Is there any law that applies to what's happening in Iraq? We will talk to somebody who might give us some answers about that right here on Air America Radio.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Home. When you were a kid, it was the last place you wanted to be. Some of us even packed our bags weekly to run away. Now all you really want to do is run home after a long day at work, especially when you've brought the rich, distinctive taste of Starbucks coffee home from your grocery store. So brew yourself a cup of one of Starbucks' deeply satisfying coffees and sit back knowing how good life can be once you've stopped running. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
I don't know what we're going to do about Jason. He's head over heels in debt, and Jim refuses to bail him out again.
Well, he's a grown man with a good job. You've done your duty.
Yes, but Jim and I apparently fell down on the job when it came to educating him financially. He dreams of buying a condo, but he's only paying the minimum on his credit card.
Mm.
And he's at a stage where he won't appreciate advice from us. He needs someone he'll listen to. But who will give him good advice?
Maybe a financial planner?
How would we know he's getting someone who'll look at what he needs and not just sell him an investment or insurance plan? More bills he'll have trouble meeting.
Oh, you can really be assertive. I've been reading about this.
Uh-huh.
He can insist that the planner look at his whole financial situation and base recommendations on it, then ask how the planner will be paid and what commissions or referral fees he'll get.
Oh.
For free information about choosing a planner and asserting your rights as a financial planning client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 1-888-237-6275 or visit cfp.net.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple or enjoyed a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many of the foods you enjoy are harvested through the hard work of migrant farm workers and their families. Please make a donation to the Harvest of Hope Foundation so we can continue to provide emergency aid and educational scholarships to migrant families and their children. Check out the Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Hey, what's going on? It's Wednesday morning. We're here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. I'm Mark Maron. It's Air America Radio. It's 20 past the hour. This was handed the five guys that run the planet. It came up a few minutes ago. Rob Walton, chairman of Walmart, is number one. Two, Rupert Murdoch. Three, James Wolfensohn, president of the World Bank. Four, Crown Prince Abdullah. And five, Tucker Carlson, which I didn't know the last one.
By the way, you know,
there
was speculation either at the end of last week or early this week that Colin Powell was going to leave the Secretary of State's post to take a job at the World Bank.
Yeah, we got to get into that some other
day. That's just because he was spotted at a dinner at Wolfensohn's, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Who's apparently one of his good friends.
That's a whole other
conspiracy. That's an inside Washington blah, blah, blah.
It is time now to check in with the presidential Palm Pilot. This is how he loads his Palm Pilot from the WhiteHouse.gov site. This is his daily calendar for George Bush today, Wednesday, 8 a.m. Wake up. Continue to allow American press and public to misunderestimate me. 9 a.m. Reading. Discover that W Magazine isn't about me. 11 a.m. Meeting with fellow alumni at Yale and Harvard. Discuss how much I hate elitists. 1 p.m. Meet with Singapore Prime Minister Goh Chok Tong. Practice saying name without hawking a loogie. 3 p.m. Spend afternoon in recording studio trying to get I'm George W. Bush and I approved this ad to finally sound right. 6 p.m. Buy Karen Hughes mask for Laura or perhaps have one made. You have that kind of power, don't you? 9 p.m. Bedtime. Have staffer read reassuring poll numbers until I fall asleep. Fudge numbers if necessary. Hey, good idea. 9 p.m. 9:10 p.m. Fudge. I sort of fudged that whole reading, didn't I? Fudged it all up.
No, you weren't there.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to feel better when we get to talking to this next fella. Torture in Iraq. How will the administration be held accountable for this type of thing going on? What are the legal repercussions? Joining us now is Peter McGuire. Peter has taught the laws of war at Columbia University and Bard College, and he is the author of Law and War, An American Story, and the forthcoming book, Facing Death. Good morning, Peter. You're in the studio.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. So how far is all this going to go? What's going on?
I think it's going to go a lot further. The two stories that have emerged don't really mesh. The Pentagon is claiming these are isolated events while participants like Chip Fredrickson and General Karpinski are claiming they're being set up as fall guys for a larger policy.
And you believe that?
Yeah, there's certainly, as I said before, the two stories don't mesh. This is consistent with the Pentagon micromanaging a war, playing fast and loose with the customary and codified rules of war, whether it's the Jose Padilla case, Guantanamo Bay, definitions of enemy combatants. They've wanted it both ways since the beginning.
Are there any legal precedents that have been set in relation to these types of situations?
Yeah, these are clear violations of the Geneva Conventions. We get into a little bit of a tricky legal question, where is this an occupation or is this actual hostilities? But nonetheless, if it's an occupation, these are still violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and these are practices that the U.S. claims to not carry out. Although we have kept many of the real key al-Qaeda captives off U.S. soil in places like Diego Garcia Island and elsewhere.
For reasons?
I would imagine, yes. I don't know that empirically, but I don't see any other reason why to keep them outside the territorial reign of U.S.
But does that mean that the U.S. thinks that it can operate some kind of global system of detention that is actually outside U.S. law? And if so, why and how could that be okay?
I think that they are and they have been, and I think that's what the arguments in the Padilla case have really come down to. They've come down to an executive saying, I know what's in your best interest. I can't tell you what's in your best interest, but nonetheless, I will act within your best interest. And the Supreme Court showed major reservations towards that argument. And I think when they rule in July, I don't think they'll rule favorably in Padilla. But again, it's having it both ways. We're claiming we're fighting an asymmetrical war against an enemy that doesn't respect the rules of war. And we, as I said before, we have played fast and loose with these rules, and they've come back to bite us.
Is this faster and looser than any other war in the past? When, you know, clearly some kind of abuse or coercion happens when you're trying to get information out of terrorists or suspects or people, any suspect.
No, it's actually a common situation in guerrilla warfare. It's similar to what the French faced in Algeria when they resorted to torture and eventually were forced to retreat from Algeria. It was similar to what the Vietnamese did, both North Vietnamese and Viet Cong. So torture is certainly a part of war. But
they would argue in the case of Algeria and Vietnam, clearly one that doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't think it's yielded results. If this kind of buffoonery of these photographs and all that is somehow coercive and intended to get good intelligence, we need to start all over.
Well, you know, we had the Defense Secretary was on the Today Show this morning. We just played a short clip of him. I don't know if you heard it, where he said essentially, well, first of all, he corrected himself in mid-course. And then he said that the Geneva Convention didn't apply precisely to some detainees, but they would be treated as if the Geneva Convention did, in fact, apply. What was he trying to say there?
I think I would put the best light on it possible, which is still doesn't make it look too good, which is that these are hostilities other than war, that ever since, you know, Bush landed on the aircraft carrier and, you know, it was mission accomplished, and that this is occupation. Because it's occupation, it doesn't fall under the formal guidelines of the laws of war.
But some of the administration is still saying we're at war.
They're saying 20 different things, and they haven't even defined, you know, what the war on terror implies as well. I mean, you read Pearl or Frum's book, and basically it's an open-ended ticket to 50 years of more or less whatever the executive deems to be in American national interest. This is patently un-American.
Do you think they're using these contractors, these mercenaries, to really avoid being legally responsible in the same way in terms of the Geneva?
Well, there is a law now, I think passed a year or two ago, that does hold military contractors accountable in U.S. courts for acts they commit outside the U.S. But, yeah, again, it's the same, the Pentagon farming these things out. We're shorthanded. There's accountability problems with having subcontractors, even if they're former CIA or special forces it's sloppy, and
right.
and we look profoundly sloppy. And
well, they're not even punishing these guys. One of the guy who shot a guy for throwing rocks at him, another contractor killed the guy. Neither one of them were charged with murder or
right.
even...
No, slaps on the wrist. Yeah. Strategic legalism, what I call in my book.
What does that mean?
Using the processes of law to appear as if you're inflicting punishment, like in the Cali case for the My Lai massacre, but then quietly letting them out the back door once the public relations exercise has been served.
Interesting.
Peter McGuire, is it realistic, and if so, what can be done to make sure that these, you know, that this kind of, you know, torture never happens in a situation of war?
I don't think that's realistic, but I think that we could begin getting the situation under control by reining in the Pentagon. The Pentagon's run roughshod over the military, and they've dumped a number of messes in the lap of the U.S. military, particularly with these legal cases like Padilla or Gitmo. The professional military is not altogether happy about this.
We got to go.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Peter McGuire, the book is Law and War. It's available. It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
I got to get that. Yeah. I really want to.
No, I'll send you guys.
Oh, I appreciate that.
No, really.
Still ahead, why did television cut away from Pat Tillman's funeral, plus the morning devotional and the liberal agenda when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Add the name of California Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein to the growing number of Washington lawmakers who are sharply criticizing the Bush White House for not coming clean on the issue of Iraqi prisoner abuse early on. The sniping isn't just partisan. Republicans are also critical of Bush for a slow and poor response. The White House says the president will go on Arab television for a couple of interviews and a bit to underscore his feelings about abuse allegations today. It seems the Bush White House is definitely looking to distance itself from the leadership of the Iraqi National Congress, the Mash Lobby. The one-time friend of the Washington administration appears to be on the outs because intelligence reports suggest that he's been giving sensitive information to the Iranian government. And the commander of the U.S.-run prisons in Iraq is apologizing in the name of the United States for alleged abuse of prisoners by U.S. soldiers. Wayne Gilman, Air America, Radio News.
Today at 5 o'clock on Channel 7, Eyewitness News. Struggling to have a baby? Well, Eyewitness News anchor Diana Williams has great news for you. A new way to boost your chances of getting pregnant without shots or pills. Plus, at 6 o'clock on Eyewitness News, you won't believe where they're dumping trash. The Eyewitness News investigators catches up red-handed. It all starts with Diana Williams, Sade Veteranois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5 o'clock, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah. It made headlines around the world for 15 years on a quiet suburban street right here in America.
I was naked. My ankle was chained to a steel grate.
This millionaire hid a dungeon of terror.
He raped me every day.
So you went to the police and you were not believed. Abducted and held captive. Their chilling story.
It's unspeakable. It's like hell. Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7. Hey,
how you doing? I'm Nick.
I'm Drew.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Jeff.
And we're from 98 Degrees.
And we're here for RAD, recording artists, athletes, and actors against drunk driving.
Now, we all make difficult choices each and every day.
Before you drink, make the right choice. Designated driver.
Now, what should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Whatever you have to. Because when you drink and drive,
we all lose.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
His belief is there is no future.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
The protesters and the protest movement helped bring an earlier end to the Vietnam War and save lives. To be a dissenter in our country is not to be unpatriotic.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
I had a question. I was just wondering how he resolved the flack with Richard Clark.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Good morning, Wednesday morning. How's it going for you? I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. Send us an email if you want, sedition@airamericaradio.com. We always enjoy the emails. Maybe we'll read some in a little while. So, Mark Riley, there was a little censorship issue at the Pat Tillman funeral. What happened there? Was that an FCC thing? Or?
This wasn't just dumping out a delay like you do when somebody says one word or whatever. You just dump, like in radio, get rid of it.
Right.
They actually cut away from Pat Tillman's funeral. Pat Tillman, of course, was the former NFL star defensive back for the Arizona Cardinals, who stepped away from a rather lucrative football contract to become a Ranger in the United States Armed Forces, was killed in Afghanistan. After, by the way, having been in Iraq, a lot of people don't know that he was in both places.
Right.
And at his funeral, apparently a couple of his family members. Now, this wasn't just some stray talk in an audience. This wasn't like when George Bush called that guy from the Times an a-hole.
Right.
This was actually somebody got up on the podium in front of, among others, Senator John McCain, Maria Shriver, and a bunch of other people, and said some things that we would certainly be investigated for saying if I were to repeat them here. So we're not going to do
brother,
that.
His brother said, I didn't prepare, beep, at the podium.
Yeah. And one of the other ones said, Pat is
bleeping dead.
Yes.
Now, these, I imagine they were, well, the brother was, you know, I mean.
Emotional moments.
Yeah, exactly.
Understandable. But now, I guess.
It's wrong of the FCC to fine them. I will agree with that.
Thank you very much. Well, I mean, the local television channels that were covering this, I guess, are so nervous about the possibility of FCC sanction that they pulled out of the broadcast completely. They didn't just, you know, you would think there would be somebody that might be able to do that. I don't know. Maybe it was part of the Bono thing, too.
But shouldn't there be a clause in that kind of stuff that, like, you know, isn't there a type of profanity that, you know, isn't going to, you know, shatter, you know, whatever Americans get so disturbed by profanity's little lives that there should be some sort of clause where it's like, you know, like how impossible it is to change an airline ticket. There are certain things that, you can't.
I know exactly what you mean.
Unless you have a doctor's note or something, that kind of stuff. That, shouldn't there be a clause within this thing where it's like there are certain exceptions to the rule of the FCC regulations? Like, these people were grief-stricken. They were expressing their emotions. They chose to cover the funeral.
Yeah.
And they said these things in their moments of pain. They used to do it during basketball games. Sometimes things would slip out.
Well, there were a couple of things that just recently slipped out. Shaquille O'Neal, I believe, cursed twice in an interview after losing a particular basketball game. But what the people here seem to be saying, the television executives, as far as their decision was concerned, they seem to be saying, well, we didn't expect this to happen. So when it did, we felt we had no choice. We didn't want our listening audience or our viewing audience to be bombarded with any further words, not that we knew they were going to come out.
Well, what did they think
so
was going to happen?
So we pulled the broadcast.
You what did they think was going to happen, though?
I think that Pat Tillman probably has the last laugh here, given that, you know, he was always celebrated for shunning media interviews and taking the limelight.
Right.
And he was like this big hero. I'm just the same as my buddies in the service.
Yeah.
The fact that he got pulled off the air I think he'd like that. I mean, I'm sure he didn't want to have a bunch of celebrities showing up at his service, John McCain and Maria Shriver, and his funeral televised.
Politicizing.
So in the end, maybe the expletives uttered by his family were the best thing that could have happened. I think it's in his honor the thing was yanked off the air.
Truly honoring the member of Pat, the memory of Pat. That's a good point, Sue. I think you might be right. But I do think that, you know, in those situations, you cannot have the same rules. And it's you know what, in Europe, Sue, isn't it true that in Europe, like, that they don't have the same restrictions on television as we do here? I mean, I've
seen some racy stuff on British TV, but late at night.
Right. On HBO, they run stuff from other countries, and you'd think that it was just a porn fest.
You see, for us, late at night is after 9.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is racy stuff. There's far more, you know, there's nudity, there's actual sex, you know, plausible sex. People are allowed to have bad teeth and be fat and have, you know, unkempt hair.
Well, you can't control that. That's most people there, isn't it? But I...
Hey, babe, okay. It's most people here, but we don't have to sanitize our TV shows to make everybody look like the cast of Friends.
But what about language? Are they allowed to use the language?
I can't say what I really think.
Oh.
Yeah, we'd be censored. No, like, you can. It is much more profane.
It's
people
so weird.
Same in advertising. Things can be much more sexually explicit.
Why is there this tremendous trend in American culture and American politics to sort of, like, regress?
Money, advertisers, people being cautious.
Yeah, money. It is money. And the fear, remember that the FCC has to, they have to by their mandate.
Yeah.
If one person wrote the FCC and complained about hearing that in a telecast, the FCC has to launch an investigation.
Right.
Now, if you look at Michael Powell, he doesn't look like the most industrious guy in the universe. I mean, not speaking out of school here or anything, but he doesn't look like a guy who really wants to do a whole bunch of investigations, right?
Yeah.
He's a guy who has stood up for all of these broadcasters and their right to consolidate, their right to get richer every week by forming these new networks and all that. So these guys don't really want to make him do a whole heck of a lot of work. So they get preemptive. They say, okay, we're going to cut it out as soon as it happens or before it happens if we know it's going to happen, so that we don't get ourselves in a position where Michael Powell then has to actually – you know, act like a hypocrite and say, well, we can't let you expand because you broadcast too much profanity.
But wouldn't that be pretty funny after all the kind of months of speculation that Howard Stern is their kind of target test case that will actually be perhaps the Pat Tillman funeral?
Well, it wouldn't be up to them. That's the whole
thing. Who could have predicted that?
Yeah, exactly.
I just think it's so repressive and ridiculous that we can't handle it.
Well, you could move to England, but you've been so mean about people in Britain that we probably wouldn't let you in.
I love Britain.
I love Britain, too.
Coming up, the liberal agenda. Plus, was it right to take Pat Tillman's funeral off the air? What's more offensive, war or curse words? All right, we're stacking the deck, but we'll take your calls anyways at 866-303-AARZERO, 866-303-2270, here on Air America Radio.
In 1 year, the average American throws away over 1,600 pounds of trash. But Michigan is getting wise about waste. Amanda Hathaway from WISE, Waste Information Series for Education, explains.
The best thing anyone can do to help prevent all this waste, the millions of tons that we're sending to our landfills, is to reduce, reuse, and recycle. You can reduce pretty easy. Do things like buy rechargeable batteries, bring a reusable water bottle from home, bring your coffee mug right into work. You need to look for products that are made out of recycled materials, because that's what drives the market. So when you're at the store, if you can look for products that say they're made out of recycled materials, that's one of the best ways that you can help recycling.
The alarming news is that over 100 landfills close every year.
So unless you want a landfill in your backyard, better start practicing the 3 R's and reducing, reusing, and recycling your waste.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Okay then, Dr. Carter. Thanks a lot. I'll see you next time. All right, Mr. Stewart. Now remember, keep taking your pills every day.
Mr. Stewart is one of my patients. He's got high blood pressure. So we talked about how that also puts him at risk for kidney disease. Kidney disease doesn't have any real warning signs. But if you have high blood pressure or diabetes, or a family member with kidney failure, you're at risk. So now Mr. Stewart gets simple testing done for kidney disease when he comes in. He's lucky and smart. Because if you don't get checked for kidney disease now, you could be on the waiting list for a kidney transplant later.
If you have diabetes or high blood pressure, or a family member with kidney failure, ask your doctor or healthcare professional to test you. For a free brochure, call toll-free 1-866-4-KIDNEY, because you have the power to prevent kidney disease. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health, National Kidney Disease Education Program.
Planet Jam. Get your groove on for peace. Chris Decker, founder of Earth Dance International, explains.
Earth Dance is a global synchronized music and dance event for world peace.
The highlight is the prayer for peace. Ambient music with spoken words.
The universal prayer. It's been translated into many different languages and that gets played at the same time all around the world.
The idea is to create a one-day global dance party and everybody dedicates that party to a local nonprofit organization in their city.
So many, many promoters around the world actually choose environmental nonprofits locally and start recognizing that it's really important to look after your environment because the planet is really not at peace, it's out of balance.
This year's Earth Dance is set for September 18th.
The idea is to get really active locally but then join this global event.
Shake it for peace.
The website is www.earthdance.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Good morning, Wednesday morning. Mark Maron here with Sue Elcott and Mark Riley on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. It's 43 past the hour. We want to know your thoughts on Pat Tillman's funeral, the FCC, related issues. 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-AAR0. I heard that the emails are coming in about my comments about Barbara Streisand.
You've done it this time, pal. Take it easy.
People, like, it's unbelievable sometimes what people get worked up about. Hey, Barbara's very important to us. All right. Time for our morning devotional. Dear Lord, we've heard an awful lot of bad news out of Iraq this week, Lord. You got to make it stop. No, really. No more. Enough. This is getting biblical. I keep expecting to see frogs raining down on Paul Bremer. There's really only so much horror we can absorb, Lord. There's really nothing like torture stories to bring you down. Americans are used to being seen as gluttons, arrogant cowboys, egomaniacs. Fine. But this, wow, this is practically German. And I don't want to be German. I'm at the point where I'm turning to studies on global warming for a break. At least that's, you know, long-term bad news. An asteroid hitting the Earth. Fine. The sun explodes. Terrific. Just no more Iraq, please. Not for a few days, anyways. Could you send us something lighter? A water-skiing squirrel, maybe? Because if they interrupt the finale of Friends with a special bulletin, I'm going to lose it. Thanks, man. Amen.
Wow, that was discordant.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed
to be.
That's
the way it's supposed to be.
Glenn in Long Island. Glenn?
Hey, got me back talking about the FCC now.
Okay.
Years ago, I did radio, so I kind of know a little bit about this.
We could tell.
The FCC years ago was kind of like Elliot Ness and the Untouchables.
Uh-huh.
They would never prosecute an obscenity or an indecency issue because they would have to come up with some sort of evidence. Because the laws are so vague, it's very difficult to prove. What they would do, if they had lots of complaints, they would send investigators to the station. They would look at your public file. They would look at your transmitter logs, and they would find a clerical error, which is a slam dunk for a fine.
It's true. Absolutely.
Now what they've done is they've become like the IRS. You are no longer innocent until proven guilty. You are automatically guilty, and they selectively enforce this.
Hey, Glenn, you remember which case turned this? Do you remember a woman by the name of Terry Ricolta?
No, I don't.
She's the woman who complained about Married with Children on Fox back in the late 1980s. And it created a huge uproar. And it was only one person.
Uh-huh.
She organized boycotts. She was on every talk show that existed at that time. This is like about 88, 89.
Uh-huh.
Every talk show that existed, she was on.
Uh-huh.
Talking about how this show, and it was nothing specific. There was no obscenity in the program, none of that. It was just that the kind of humor they did offended her, and it created this huge uproar.
Wow. Well, thanks for your call. We got Leslie in Chicago. Leslie.
Hi.
Hello.
It's so
amazing to finally reach you. And I, before I ever say anything else, I'm going to say, please come back on the air in Chicago. I'm late every day to work because I turn on my computer because I can't get you on the radio.
Oh, we're trying. We should be back soon.
Oh, I hope so. I just wanted to say that it really doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, the government, the FCC, is more concerned with pulling people off the air or funerals off the air that use a few four-letter words, because, of course, that's going to undermine the whole wellness of this country, right, rather than having war going on.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it is absolutely crazy. My daughter lives in Arizona, and she was talking about it to me, and she doesn't get involved in anything.
Wow. Like, well, I'm glad this spurred her on.
She's an aware person I know, and she called and said, you're not going to believe this. And I said, sure I do.
But let's hope it prompts her to go and vote.
Oh, you know what? I send her emails every day. She does not stand a chance.
Well, remind her whom to vote for.
Oh, yeah. She knows who not to vote for.
Good. Okay.
Thanks
go.
A lot, Leslie.
Thanks so much for your program.
Okay, bye-bye. Chris in New Mexico. Chris?
Yes.
Hi. Where are you in New Mexico?
Well, currently eastbound on I-40.
Oh,
really? From Albuquerque?
Oh, I'm halfway between here and there. I'm almost to Santa Rosa.
Oh, okay. All right. I grew up there. I just wanted to sort of feel that weird feeling you get when you're talking to somebody near where you grew up.
Yeah.
What's on your mind, Chris?
Well, honestly, I think the FCC has absolutely no right to censor people for language because the definition of obscenity is so completely vague. And I think that the war and the occupation in Iraq is obscene.
Completely.
So I think they ought to take it off the air.
What? Thanks for your call.
That's an interesting point. Like,
you know, end all information. You know, it is an interesting call. It is obscene, but that's the kind of obscenity we need to watch in order to learn and respond as people, right?
Well, the point that violence, you know, gunplay, violence, bloodshed, war is more offensive than obscene language is a valid point.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah. But, you know, manufactured. I mean, like, we should see the realities of war. I think there's an important message
there. Absolutely. You can't take war off the news.
So, Chris in Connecticut. Chris? Hi, Chris.
No, he's got Max.
Okay. How about that? How about Max? You got Max?
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
This is Max from Philadelphia listening on the Internet.
Hey, right. What's up?
I think it's funny that Bush is now using Van Halen's Right Now to introduce himself, because if you remember the video.
I don't. Help us out.
Way back, the video, you know, the song is Right Now, Right Now.
Yeah, yeah.
On the video, you have Right Now and all these quotes, and it says, Right Now, old men and oil companies are in charge. Right Now, our government is doing things we think only other countries do.
Is that true?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Oh, that's great. That's
we
great
should get
information.
We should get a hold of that. I thought the Van Halen also was some of the music they used when General Noriega was holed up inside his compound, and they bombarded the troops with they bombarded his compound with loud rock music. Wasn't Van Halen one of the things they played?
I really can't remember, but I can't remember that that video. But it's a very ironic and a great fact. Thanks
someone,
for calling.
Someone's going to be busted for not doing their research in the Bush camp.
Yeah. Someone should put that on TV and show it again. We'll be back with the liberal agenda and other things. Mark Maron here on Air America Radio.
I'm a wife, a mother, and I'm on a waiting list for a double lung transplant.
A lung disease is threatening Robbie's life.
I've had cystic fibrosis all my life, but now my future depends on getting a transplant. My lung capacity is at 26%, so if a healthy, normal person would shut down 3/4 of their lungs, that's what I'm functioning on. As my health has declined, I miss some of the things that I love to do with my daughter, bike rides, taking long walks, rake leaves in the fall and run and jump in them with her.
Right now, tens of thousands of people are waiting, like Robbie, for an organ or tissue transplant.
My driving motivation is my daughter and being there for her. It's hard to imagine a greater gift than the gift of life from an organ donor. It means life. I get to keep living.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Planet check.
Eco victory for Yellowstone Park. Federal Judge Emmett Sullivan says no go to snowmobiles.
The judge determined that the ruling of the Bush administration was in violation of the intent of the Organic Act of the National Parks. The levels of snowmobiles in either case were outrageously high, given the mandate to protect Yellowstone irreparably for future generations.
That's Alfred Runty, author of National Parks, The American Experience.
The big environmental hazard has been to the wildlife and to the quality of the air. But there's a more fundamental issue, and that is, why have snowmobiles in the national parks in the first place? We're supposed to go there and enjoy nature.
The court ruling marks the beginning of a phase-out of snowmobiles in Yellowstone.
Snowmobiles are cut back in half for this year, from 900 to 460-some machines. Next year, there will be a total elimination of snowmobiles.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Planet Check. The Bush administration is trying to stack our courts with lifetime anti-environmental judges. Glenn Sugamelli from Earth Justice explains.
The latest one is former mining and beef industry lobbyist named William Myers. Now the president is trying to put him on the Ninth Circuit U.S. Appeals Court for life.
That's the court that decides the fate of environmental safeguards in California and eight other western states.
Myers has an extreme record. He attacked basic endangered species and clean water safeguards as unconstitutional.
Many environmental, civil rights, labor, and women's groups are opposed.
The good news is that people can do something about this. They can log on to our website at earthjustice.org and find out how they can urge their senators to stop Myers and other anti-environmental nominees. That's earthjustice.org.
That's Planet Check. Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. It's a Wednesday morning, and man, did I open up some Pandora's box of contempt and hatred when I criticized. I didn't criticize. I made a joke about Barbara Streisand.
No, you criticized.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I did.
But you just obeyed. Sorry.
Did you want to run that commercial? Sorry. We keep they didn't put this into the rack properly, so we got to run this commercial.
Do you like soldiering, but also nude photography? Do you enjoy protecting oil workers and directing rubber BDSM fetish layouts? Well, picture this. At CACI International Defense Contractors, we can put you behind enemy lines and behind the camera. We're looking for people with previous military training and a good eye for composition. High voltage personalities do work with high voltage. Our instructors have had their pictures in Penthouse, Playboy, Soldier of Fortune, Mercenary Resource, Private Army Magazine, and Tri-Quarterly Interrogator. Pose with your models. Put your models in a pile. Anything goes if you keep an eye on the perimeter. See all you can see at CACI International, Defense Contractors, Arlington, Virginia.
Well, tremendous.
I'm quite surprised at how people's minds work that you would get mail complaining about your comments about Barbara Streisand, but nothing about the ad. Doesn't make sense.
Well, I don't blame him for the ad.
The thing was, I made some comments about Barbara Streisand, and I said I didn't like him, but I also said I think it's great that the fundraising thing is there. It's just a lot of people, you get 20 emails that say, really funny, and then 20 emails that, say really not funny. And it's interesting, the people that say it's really funny, they enjoy the show, they enjoy the comedy, they say it that way, but people who hate me, unbelievable. Well, it's amazing how mean and cruel and horrible some liberals. Oh, it is an essay. It's a complete personal attack on Mark Maron that I really kind of make certain people just cringe and seethe and hate. And it's just I'm glad I'm letting liberals unleash this.
Put it on the notice board. We'll read it afterwards.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's
all. You're not gonna read it now? Come on, read one.
No, I'm not gonna
read one. Make somebody.
Well, the only one that I think warrants reading is that when I said that you're either 90 or gay if you like Barbara Streisand.
Uh-huh.
And if you're 90 and gay, then you really, really, really dig her.
Is that one from an 89-year-old straight man?
No, I don't know who it's from, but he's basically saying that, comments on Barbara Streisand, leave her comments, I'm not either 90 or gay, to like BS, Barbara Streisand, or BS, I like better, are uncalled for if you're preaching to be liberal and criticizing Republicans for having double standards. You should not stereotype against gay people. I'm sure you would be equally offended by anyone stereotyping African Americans or any other minority group. In short, stereotyping gay people does not sound too liberal, does it? Okay, I'll concede that. Maybe you're right. I still think it was kind of a funny moment, but I didn't certainly mean to maybe offend Ed. Well, maybe I did.
Okay, but let's just we'll commend her for bringing in the big bucks for John Kerry. How's that?
I did that already, but that doesn't matter
just
to some people.
Just reinforcing it.
Does not matter to some people. Hate, hate, hate.
Yeah, I got another one, but we won't read this one either.
Why not?
You sure?
You
is it going to hurt
you
me, Mark?
You can't tease like that and not deliver, Mark.
All right. Barbara Streisand is a major nothing. Who cares what she says? The FCC is moving under orders from the neoconservatives and the Dominionist movement. For me, Fox News and Rush Limbaugh are obscene.
Right on. See, it goes either way. And there's our facts from Barbara Streisand, who apparently is still listening. Some people hate this segment, too, but some people love it. Some people really hate it. This is the liberal agenda for today, Wednesday. Get your notepads out. And those people who hate this segment, turn off your radio or something. Here we go. 1, key the paint on random SUVs. 2, give federal grants to any artist who works in urine. 3, refer to the Bush administration as America's provisional occupation government. 4, have tarot cards read. Depending on answers, volunteer at food bank or relax at day spa. 5, help poor families combat rising milk prices by donating breast milk and cheese to local shelter. I did it. Ugh, breast cheese. That's
yeah,
rough.
That one.
It's rough, right?
Isn't yeah,
that
you lost me.
Didn't that trigger you into the whole Barbara Streisand thing, the list?
I am so impressed with the amount of hatred and bile that comes out of the liberal brain of some people when it's focused on a person like me.
Well, join us tomorrow on Morning Sedition. Someone in the White House outed Ambassador Joe Wilson's wife as a CIA agent. Tomorrow we'll find out how he's fighting back. That's tomorrow's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
If you're age 50 or beyond, the best present you can give yourself is a reality health check. Get a bone density scan, a colonoscopy, and if you're not already taking the calcium supplement Caltrate, now's a good time to start. You see, Caltrate not only benefits your bones, it could be good for your colon, too.
The same Caltrate shown in a clinical study to help stop bone loss may also help reduce the risk of recurrent colon polyps.
So schedule that reality checkup, and if you're not already taking Caltrate, start. It's never too late for Caltrate.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. Where do you go?
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne.